Let's get started. Welcome to Films from the Phantom Zone, your podcast about failed and forgotten comic book movies, where usually we would review a superhero movie. But today, we're going to review a different kind of thing. Berto, what are we reviewing?
Spider-Man Miles Morales.
The video game.
The video game, yes. Not a movie. No.
Available on PS4 and PS5, maybe on PC now?
And PC.
Oh, I could have bought it. Well, I just borrowed your copy.
Yeah.
So basically, we played through the first Marvel's Spider-Man game.
With the new Peter Parker.
Yeah, with brand new Peter Parker's face. new and improved, question mark.
Improved?
And then we recorded a full-on episode on it, treated it as if it's a movie. And we did that about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, so, it's been a while.
Yeah, so go ahead and, if you want to scroll down and find that episode before you listen to this, if you want. But the Miles Morales game, which was kind of almost like a DLC, but almost like an expansion pack, right?
Yeah.
It's like a mini game, basically. It takes place during Christmas. It's a Christmas-themed game.
Yeah.
And I thought, what a perfect time. I can't play Spider-Man 2 because I don't have a PS5. So let's do this instead. Plus, I would want to play this before I ever touch Spider-Man 2 anyway.
Yeah, and I'm going to guess that you're glad that you did.
Yeah, no.
There's actually a lot in this.
Yeah, this was fantastic. And I think my favorite part about this game, and we're going to get into it in obviously extensive detail, but I love that this gave Miles Morales the full treatment. He got his own origin story, basically.
Yeah.
You get to kind of play as him. He has his own entire story before going on to Spider-Man 2. And I don't know anything about Spider-Man 2. I watched the trailer and that's it.
Okay.
But at least I know going into that game, it doesn't have to worry about doing Miles the favor of doing a full story.
Yeah, because
that's what this was for.
Yep. Yeah, it gets you all caught up with him and where he's at and establishes him as Spider-Man.
Yeah. So. Anyway, my name's Arnaldo. I'm your host and I'm joined by
Berto.
Guys, what we're going to do is talk about this game as if it were a regular movie. You could find this on YouTube, but I'll also link it below. But a lot of people just put up the cutscenes and some other scenes that are kind of important up on YouTube. And you can kind of literally just watch it if you haven't played the game all the way. But we're just going to talk about the same thing, background, plot, analyze. We didn't do Into the Phantom Zone, did we?
I don't think so.
For the last one? Okay, yeah.
Because it was a bonus episode. Right?
Was it?
Or did we treat it as a regular episode?
I'm going to have to check. But anyway, let's get going. Hmm. Let's do some background on Miles Morales because we're not convinced we ever did background on Miles Morales, right?
I don't think we did for Across the Spider-Verse, which is crazy to me.
We had to have.
I was just listening to the episode, though, and I just jumped right into talking about 2099, I guess because I'm a fanboy, but...
Oh, yeah, you might have gotten a little excited.
And I just forgot about Miles, the main character. Okay. The thing is, I remember taking notes. I guess I just never read them.
All right, Berto, what can you tell me about Miles Morales?
All right, well, created by Brian Michael Bendis and Sarah Pacelli. Brian Michael Bendis being the writer and Pacelli being the artist. Debuted in Ultimate Fallout number 4, which was in August 2011. And this was following the death of Peter Parker in the Ultimate Spider-Man, or the Ultimate Universe.
Right.
So that Peter Parker was killed by Green Goblin.
How long was his run in the Ultimate? He was there for a few years, wasn't he?
I think close to a decade.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ultimate Spider-Man had his run.
Yeah. Ultimate Spider-Man, I think it started in 2000, 2001.
Ultimate Peter Parker.
Maybe late 90s.
These
but
are things
yeah.
we should know.
I think he's back now, or he came back.
The Ultimate Peter Parker?
Yeah. He came back in some capacity.
What?
But the Ultimate Universe doesn't exist anymore, so that's complicated. Anyway, Miles then received his own series called Ultimate Comics Spider-Man, and that ran until 2015 when the Ultimate Universe ended in the Secret Wars event.
Right.
And then he was one of the few elements brought over from the Ultimate Universe into 616 with the Peter Parker that we've all known and loved since the 60s.
Right. Ultimate Peter Parker, as in the first Ultimate Spider-Man, as in the entire Ultimate Universe, basically, was 2000.
Okay, 2000.
Yeah.
Oh, Zach's saying he thinks they just brought back the Ultimate Universe in the comics. I think they did very, very recently.
Oh,
I'm not that caught up, though.
I can't keep up with anything. That's ridiculous. Yeah, so in the wake of Peter Parker's death, Miles Morales gets bit by a spider, and he basically falls into that role as Spider-Man.
Yeah.
The thing that I always thought was weird with Miles Morales is because, he's not the first, mantle caring superhero. You know, where like he takes the mantle of a predecessor or whatever.
Yeah.
And takes the same exact title. But it's like the only instance of that where it's happening simultaneously.
Yeah, it's like there's two of them at once.
There's two Spider-Men at once. Yeah. Exactly. Whereas like when Bruce Wayne is not Batman and someone else becomes Batman for a little bit, he's out of the picture. It's not like there's two Batmen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then like Bruce Wayne came back and then Dick Grayson went back to being Nightwing. Like, there's only one person in the mantle, but because, like, Miles Morales was the only Spider-Man for a long time in his universe until, like, he came into the 616, and now there's two Spider-Men.
He got, like, a good, like, 4 years and then got brought over to the new universe, or the mainline universe, I guess.
Yeah.
I like
that. So Miles Morales is popular for a variety of reasons. First of all, he's incredibly likable. I think that's first and foremost.
They're also going back to like the actual teenager being Spider-Man again, which was the whole reason Spider-Man was created in the first place, was to be like a more relatable hero towards the younger crowd.
Yeah.
Obviously, in the comics, Spider-Man grew up a little bit.
Yeah, Peter Parker's like aged out.
Yeah.
Like in the 70s.
Slightly, but I feel like he's been like 30 years old for like 30 years, so whatever.
Hey, that's how Marvel does it. They're just like always the same age, even though the years go on and on and on. Half Puerto Rican, half black.
Yes.
Son of Jefferson Davis and Rio Morales.
Jefferson Davis is a very interesting name.
I went on a...
to have?
Yes. I went on a deep dive because as I'm playing the game, I literally paused it and I went, why does he have his mother's last name? I've known about this character for a long time. I never once thought about it.
Well, because then he'd be named Miles Davis and, you know...
Okay, sure. They're not going to name him Miles Davis, but he's not a real person. You understand? Like,
right.
Like, what happened was is that they wrote his name on a piece of paper, Miles Morales, and I get the name for two reasons. One, alliteration.
Yeah, that's...
Spider-Man character, got to have alliteration, right?
Yeah.
Number two, in the name has his biracial elements.
Yeah.
Right? Miles, which is a very... Well, I mean, there are white Miles, but there are also plenty of black Miles. It's a very English-originated name.
It's definitely not a Hispanic name.
Yeah, and Morales is an Hispanic name. So, like, right there in the name, it tells you your first snippet of what you need to know about Miles Morales Spider-Man, right? But then, like, they named his parents afterwards. They weren't pre-existing characters, and I thought about that. I'm like, oh, wait, was Prowler pre-existing? Yes and no. The mantle of Prowler is pre-existing.
Yes, yeah, and I do have a little bit on Prowler when we get to that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
He goes back to the 60s.
Yeah.
But Aaron Davis is not the original Prowler.
No.
He was written for the Miles Morales character.
Yeah.
So I looked this up. There's a comic panel that's kind of recent where Miles is talking to his dad, Jefferson Davis. To your point, Jefferson Davis was the one and only president of the Confederate States of America.
Right. Interesting name to pick for him, right?
Brian Michael Bendis swears that... they picked the name, they had no idea, and nobody said anything, which is insane.
Oh, whoa.
You know, the first thing you do when you're coming up with a name is you fucking Google it.
Right.
Like, before you name
someone. Make sure
someone,
it's not taken already, at least.
Before you name someone after, like, the poster boy of the Confederacy. So, the retcon is basically, in that comic panel, Miles is talking to his dad, Jefferson, and Jefferson's like, I didn't ever told you. I'll link this below. He's like, I never told you why we gave you your mother's last name. And he was like, me and your uncle, we were in this shop as kids shoplifting. Obviously, Jefferson grows up to be a cop. Aaron grows up to be the Prowler, a thief. Right?
They went separate ways, clearly.
And he's like, we would get yelled at by our dad for not stealing something worthwhile, basically, because his dad was a piece of shit. And he's like, that's not something I wanted to carry on to you.
Right.
Right. So, like, you took your mother's name. That's absolutely
a
retcon.
He feels like the name is, like, tarnished.
Right.
Yeah.
But, like, I couldn't find any real life reason why they named the mother character Rio Morales and the father character Jefferson Davis. But what it feels like, and I found someone on Reddit basically guessing.
Speculating.
But he says they created an in-story reason, which is what I just read. But I always feel like they intended him to be raised by a single mother and then backtracked later because it would feed into the absent black father stereotype. They fell in love with the name and justified it in a really awkward way.
Okay.
That's what I believe.
That I could see that.
Because
I can see them being like, ooh, maybe we shouldn't do that.
Right. He should have a father figure. And then they probably wrote into like, you know what? Like, if he's a Spider-Man, he has to have a father figure. That father figure should die.
Right. Right? Well, in the comics specifically, spoiler for the comics that came out in 2011, his mom dies.
Oh.
not his dad.
Okay.
But his dad hates Spider-Man, doesn't know that he's Spider-Man.
Oh. But in other versions, it's his dad, like the game, and then also
in the
like,
game, it's his dad. In the movie, they're implying that, that it'll
it's gonna be
his
dad.
Dad,
right?
I don't know where they're gonna go with the movie though.
Right, true, true, true. Yeah, because the third one's not coming out for a minute.
We've got like three completely different versions of Miles Morales like at the same time, and it's so interesting.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, and then I have a question for you. For you, are his powers? Why are they called Venom powers? Because
I really don't know why he calls them Venom powers, and it always bothered me too, actually.
It's weird because there's too many Venoms in comics. There's too many Venoms in Spider-Man comics. So, like, if there's a Venom, why would he name his powers Venom powers? Why would the writers pick that? You know what I mean?
It sounds cool. It does.
But is that from the comics?
I think it is called, like, his bioelectricity. I think he calls it, like, Venom.
Okay. Well, Philly says they went their separate ways on their journey. Like, little music joke there for you boys. Okay, cool. You can have that one for free. Thank you. That was a waste of 10 seconds.
Hang on. Separate Ways is a great song by Journey.
I know.
All right. So Prowler, the original Prowler was Hobie Brown, who some people might know as Spider-Punk now.
Yeah.
But in the 616 universe, he was the Prowler. He was introduced in The Amazing Spider-Man number 78, which was back in November 1969. Hobie created the Prowler technology to operate as a petty thief, but after an encounter with Spider-Man, he redeemed himself and eventually becomes a hero.
Oh, interesting.
And obviously there are other Prowlers. There's an unnamed second Prowler. I don't think he's ever named.
He just shows up once or twice and then whatever. Yeah.
There's a medical intern named Rick Lawson that becomes the Prowler. There's a clone of Hobie Brown that becomes the Prowler.
Nice.
And in the Ultimate Universe, we have Aaron Davis as the Prowler, which brings us to Aaron Davis. So him and his brother Jefferson, they used to be criminals. Jefferson reformed and became a cop. He reformed after he met Rio. So I guess she kind of like saved him.
Set him straight. Yeah. Love will do that.
Yeah. But Aaron just kind of stayed on the criminal path. He eventually becomes the Prowler. In the comics, when Aaron discovers that Miles is the new Spider-Man, he tries to exploit and manipulate Miles into helping him kill Scorpion because he's got like a rivalry with him.
Beef with Scorpion.
He's got beef.
It's funny.
When Miles finds out that he's being used, he kind of cuts ties with Aaron. And at this point, Aaron threatens to tell Miles' parents that he's Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
This gets them in a fight. And during the fight, Aaron's gauntlets explode and he dies.
Okay.
So he dies in this fight with his nephew.
Right.
And then his dying words to Miles are that they're like the same. So I don't know if those are like, that's a good thing to say though. He's like, oh, you're just like me.
Yeah. Well, Miles doesn't want to hear that either.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Aaron Davis in the comics is kind of a piece of shit.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of how they did it in Into the Spider-Verse too. They fought and then he dies.
Yes, but
during that fight.
I think he was a lot more caring of Miles in the movie. It seemed like he cared a lot more about Miles in the movie than the comic version did. And then in the game, we'll get to it.
Right.
Tinkerer, who is named Phineas Mason, first appeared in The Amazing Spider-Man number 2.
Should clarify, old white guy.
Old white guy, yes. Yeah. Old white guy named Phineas.
Like a lot of like the villains back then, they were all old
white
guys. They were
all old white men.
Yeah.
But like actual old men.
Right, like ancient people. Like even for... I mean, it's not like this. It's the 70s and or the 60s, sure, but like...
Right, but if you bring like that up to modern day, they're all dead already.
Right, no, like they're in their 70s, basically.
Yeah. But yeah, he was in the second issue of Spider-Man, so April 1963. But then he didn't reappear until issue number 160.
Okay.
Which was in 1976.
Yeah, took a few years off.
Yeah, I guess he took some time off. He's an inventor and technician who designs advanced weapons for criminals. I mean, that's pretty much a tinkerer in every iteration that we see.
Yeah.
Including in this game. This is interesting. The tinkerer has a son named Rick Mason. That name might be familiar to you.
Yeah, okay. So they, I mean, obviously they reworked it a lot for this, but yeah.
And Rick Mason is known as the Agent.
Oh. Agent to what?
I think he's an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
S.H.I.E.L.D.? Okay.
So he works with Nick Fury a lot.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Next up, we got Yankee Lee.
Philly in the chat saying, damn, you mean Phineas isn't a Latino man in his 30s? Well, funny you mention that, Philly, because in this game, Tinker or
Phineas is a black...
is a young black girl.
Young black woman. So, girl.
Well, she's like she's 17 teenager. Or yeah. 18.
Yeah.
If Miles is 17, they're in the same year.
Phineas is a strange name, though.
Oh, yeah. They changed it to Finn.
Which sounds way better.
Yeah. But
he's in
Homecoming.
Yeah.
And he's just like that guy.
He's a tinkerer.
Yeah.
He tinkers.
He doesn't really like do much. He just makes the stuff.
He's like Vulture's like guy in the chair.
Yeah. He just makes the stuff. He's also like absent-minded.
A little bit, yeah. But Genki Lee, Miles' best friend. He's the first person that he told his Spider-Man secret to. And Genki's actually the one that suggests that Miles be a superhero.
Oh, okay.
You know, use that.
Yeah. You should be Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Since Spider-Man's dead.
And in the comics, Genki Lee actually dates Danica Hart.
Oh, okay.
Who is a YouTuber in the comics. But he doesn't want his cover blown as being Spider-Man's guy, so he goes by the alias Ned, which is
funny
because Ned Leeds in the movies is clearly based off
of
Genki.
Funny how they did that in the movies, because Ned Leeds is also a character, but
who becomes Hobgoblin. I think
he becomes Hobgoblin, but in the movies Ned Leeds has no relation to, like, no influence from the comic book Ned Leeds. They just took the name.
They took the name Ned Leeds and then gave him the characterization of Genki. Yeah.
But he could have just been Genki. At that point, just make
him
Genki.
He could have just been Genki.
Yeah. What was wrong with that?
I guess this way you get two references in one.
But if he goes by Ned anyway, then it's like...
But now if we ever get Miles in the movies...
Would it...
Are you going to get a Genki that...
Right.
Is just Ned?
Just like Ned, yeah. But like also like... What if Ned, like...
becomes friends with Miles.
No, what if Ned wants to, like... Since he's helping Spider-Man, doesn't want to go by his name, makes up the name Genki. Like, they flip that whole thing.
That's too much.
I know.
Yes, actually. Oh, yeah. I did miss that.
Oh, he did miss that. Thank you so much, Zach.
Zach in the chat said that a fun fact about Miles is that he was inspired by both Obama and Donald Glover.
He was inspired by Donald Glover.
And the idea of making a black Spider-Man came about around the time that Obama was...
Okay. President.
Elected.
Elected.
Yeah.
So the Donald Glover thing, I remember this happening. It was when they said, instead of making a Spider-Man 4, we're going to reboot the series and they're looking for a new Spider-Man.
And Donald Glover was really pushing to be Miles.
No, people pushed Donald
Glover.
Oh,
he was pushing it too.
Well, of course he was. But people were like, hey, this guy's really funny. What if you make the character black now and get Donald Glover to be... And he was young at the time. This is when they did Andrew Garfield.
This was like 10 years ago almost. Yeah.
This was more than 10 years ago.
More than,
when they were casting it?
True. Oh, when they were
casting. The movie came out in 2012.
Shit.
So it was several years before that.
Like 12 or 13 years ago. Yeah.
So yeah, Donald Glover essentially inspires the idea for Miles Morales. Then later on, goes to like play Miles Morales in a couple voice roles.
I think
roles.
He voices him a couple times, yeah. And then he plays Aaron Davis in Homecoming, which is fun.
Yeah.
And then the Prowler in Across the Spider-Verse, which was really fun. Same
oh,
character,
that's right.
Maybe?
From a different universe.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, maybe.
I don't think that Aaron Davis became like...
Has become Miles or Prowler yet.
Well, he was already known as a Prowler, but he was literally just a burglar. I don't think he had like the technology and stuff.
Right.
But also, it started off as just a fun Easter egg, so...
Yeah. Oh, hey, thanks for reminding us that.
Thank you. Last guy, Simon Krieger. In the comics, he was the vice president of the company that became Roxxon, and he was responsible for the deaths of Howard and Maria Stark.
Really?
Yes, and he did this because he was trying to take over Stark Industries.
Oh, well, you know what, though? This iteration of him has a lot of Tony Stark.
Yeah, a lot of Tony Stark energy.
Yeah.
Like... pre-Iron Man Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Simon Krieger first appeared in Iron Man, The Iron Age, number 1, in June 1998, and was killed in Iron Man, The Iron Age, number 2, in July of 1998.
So, just real short-lived
character.
He was
in two issues.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a deep cut. Well, they did the same thing with, like, Martin Lee in the first game, and the Inner Demons. Like, those guys were, like, not in a lot of issues with Spider-Man.
That's what I like that these games do, though. They'll take, like, obscure characters and expand them into something, like, meaningful. But, yeah, that's all the background info I have on the characters that appear in this game.
All right, let's get started with the movie. I mean, video game.
Wow.
So, this game is directed by Brian Horton, Brian Intihar.
Intihar?
Marcus Smith, Ryan Smith, written by Ben Arfman, Mary Kenny, John Paquette. You're not supposed to know who these people are. Just know that, like, we're just giving them a shout out.
It's good for them to have their names out there. They worked hard on this.
The game is starring Najee Jeter, who plays Miles Morales, not just in this game, but in the animated series Spider-Man from 2017, in the previous video game, in the video game Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, The Black Order, in this game, and in the next game, Marvel Spider-Man 2. So he has kind of become the Miles Morales, basically, for voice acting.
Well,
for some things.
Then there's one from the movie, which is different.
Well, yeah, obviously, but... also starring Jasmine Savoy Brown as Finn, Ike Amadi as Prowler, and Troy Baker as Simon Krieger.
Troy Baker is a great voice actor.
He is actually really good. He has very
he's got a lot of few range. Roles,
and he has very few parts, very few lines.
In this.
In this.
Yeah.
But he makes them count. I like that character a lot.
Yeah.
But
he's
and
a
then,
piece of shit.
Oh, yeah. No, he's horrible. There was a previously on Spider-Man, but it basically just kind of recapped Miles in the first game. Basically, you meet him. His dad dies, Jefferson Davis.
Mm-hmm.
If you play through that game or listen to that episode, I didn't write anything down. And then he helps out Spider-Man because he meets him through volunteering at feasts.
Yes. And then he punches Spider-Man.
You know what? I really love the scene where Peter goes to Jefferson Davis's funeral as Peter.
Oh, yeah.
And he introduces himself to Miles and he's like, hey, like, I know what you're going through. And Miles is like, no, you don't. Get out of my face.
The thing is, he does.
He does. But what is he going to say? You know? Hey, I'm Spider-Man. I know all about this.
I know all about loss.
Yeah. But during their takedown of Oscorp, because Miles helped out in a way that he and Mary Jane could help out, he gets bit by the spider because the spider gets on MJ's like sweater or something and ends up jumping off.
Yeah, she accidentally smuggled a spider out of Oscorp.
Yeah. And then bites Miles, and then like the post-credit scene of that, or the final scene of the game, like he tells Peter that he's Spider-Man.
Who, he had no idea Peter was Spider-Man when he told him.
That's right. And Peter's like, well.
Just so happens.
Same, bro. And they kind of become Spider-Man together.
Yeah. That shows the trust he had in Peter, though. And the respect, I guess, too, because he's just like, hey, this happened.
Anyway, newly spider-bit Miles Morales gets off the subway to Harlem, where he and his mother, Rio Morales, recently relocated from Brooklyn. They've moved into his grandmother's apartment, downsizing after the death of his father. It's Christmas time in Harlem, and Miles is becoming familiar with his new neighborhood when he gets a text message from Peter Parker. It's Spider-Man business. He sneaks off in his hand-me-down, ill-fitting Spider-Man suit, under his jacket, shorts, and sneakers, and swings off to meet the original Spider-Man.
I love his little, like, it almost looks like a onesie.
Yeah. But like, that's...
It doesn't fit him at all.
Well, this is his, not the one he gets later. Yeah, this is the first
one. This is literally just like...
That he has to wear his clothes over it.
Yeah. He's got like the mask, basically.
And that's like essentially it, yeah. There's probably a ton of Easter eggs in these sequences, but I think my favorite is when Miles meets with Peter. He's drinking coffee upside down. Peter Parker is, Spider-Man is. And Miles is asking him how he does that. And he's like, a lot of patience here, a lot of...
Yeah.
But then later in the game, this is like a running joke. When he's having that montage, he's practicing drinking
coffee
upside down.
Why is that something he wants to learn how to do so badly?
Like, that's
badly?
The thing. He's like, it's just...
That's what makes me Spider-Man.
When you look up to someone, you look up to, like, the little random things they do, you know?
And he's like, I want to do that, too.
Yeah, I want to do specifically that thing. At the very end of the game, Peter comes back, and Miles is, like, a full-fledged Spider-Man. He's very confident. He's into his own. He's hanging upside down drinking coffee.
The thing is, they both look so dumb when they do it, too, because they're like...
I thought that was such a fun little recurring
it's
gag.
Fun,
yeah.
And it adds some character to both of them, honestly.
Yeah.
It's just a little quirky thing.
He also asks like a random, there's a street artist who's painting a giant mural of Peter Parker Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, you gonna add that other Spider-Man? He's like, I don't know, maybe.
I don't know, maybe it's just the original is my guy.
Yeah. Like you, that other kid? Like, why?
Why? He's new.
Miles and Peter look to oversee the convoy of inmates that have broken out of the Raft prison the year prior during the events of Devil's Breath. Following the armored truck convoy is a helicopter carrying one of the supervillains in a giant safe. The Spider-Man see the cables start to tear. Miles enthusiastically tries repairing the cables, but throws the helicopter off balance instead. The helicopter safely crashes, but the supervillain Rhino escapes, along with several other inmates. Miles handles the inmates while Peter rides Rhino through a shopping mall during the height of Christmas shopping. Their fight leads them to a Roxxon power plant and the destruction cuts the power to an entire Manhattan neighborhood. Miles finds Peter injured, down for the count, and is left to fight the Rhino on his own. His first real test as a Spider-Man. Just then, his fists glow with electricity, and Miles punches Rhino down with a surge of power. Miles can't question this ability right now while he fights the Rhino and overcharges his mechanical suit with electricity. It was fun having Rhino back, also because...
That was the first villain that Miles encountered.
Yeah.
Well, besides Mr. Negative, but...
Yeah, remember, like, you had a whole Rhino mission as Miles, and you had to hide from Rhino. Mm-hmm. That was pretty fun.
While you were trying to get medical supplies.
Yeah. Roxxon's private military shows up to secure the area with Simon Krieger, head of R&D at Roxxon Energy.
What a piece of shit.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit. He's the villain, if you can't tell. Krieger thanks the Spider-Man for saving the city and taking down the old power plant he looked to replace anyway. Peter congratulates Miles on his new powers and tells him he's going to go out of town with MJ for a few weeks. He gifts Miles a sort of hand-me-down suit, and they take the made-up Spider-Man oath.
He totally didn't just make that up.
Oh, yeah. So this is how they write Peter Parker off for the time period?
He's going with MJ to Simcaria.
Simcaria, which is the made-up country
border. It's the fictitious kind of Russian-esque.
Well, it's in the Baltics. It borders Latveria.
Oh, yeah. Another fictitious country.
Basically, it's only known for Silver Sable.
Yeah.
She's from there, and that's it.
Yep, that's
I looked up to see if there are any other characters from there, and it's just, like, related characters from, like, a few issues when they go there or something, but, like, it's just Silver Sable.
Is Sokovia in the comics, or was that made up for the MCU?
I think it was made up for the MCU.
Why didn't they just use, like, Simcaria? Maybe Sony had the rights to Simcaria.
Probably, actually.
And Fox had the rights to Latveria.
Latveria.
Oh, you know what? This is all making sense.
All the made-up countries except for Wakanda were taken.
So they had to make a new one.
They made up a new one, yeah. Yeah, Europe is slightly bigger in the Marvel universe.
We just added a bunch of countries to Europe. Yeah. And now those countries exist in the MCU again.
I guess, yeah. Well, I mean, Simcaria, who knows? But, like, Latveria, that's coming.
Latveria, and it has to be Latveria if they use it. It has
to
be.
They mention Latveria once or twice?
I don't think
like,
so.
Like, recently? No. Like, on paper or something? Nah, just Wakanda. Just Wakanda and, what's it called again?
Sokovia. They could easily retcon Sokovia, or Simcaria, it was actually Sokovia, if they... Here's the thing. Silver Sable is going to be in a Sony movie, not an MCU movie, so whatever.
True. Well, no, that movie was canceled. Silver
and
Black?
If they were to bring Silver Sable in, it'd be in the Sony universe, which...
Whatever, like in the Spunk...
It's not called Spunk.
It's called SPU now.
I think it's called...
I think it's a Spider-Man universe.
Oh, okay.
Or Sony Spider-Man universe.
SSU. Yeah,
SSU. Or something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway... Miles heads over to the new Roxxon building in Harlem, powered by a revolutionary new energy reactor called Nuform. Simon Krieger plans to power all of Harlem with Nuform before rolling out to all of New York City. The offices were broken into by a new street gang with high-tech weapons called the Underground. Miles fights off some of them before rushing home to have Christmas dinner with his best friend Genki, his mother, and a surprise guest, Finn Mason, Miles' lifelong best friend and science partner. His mother, Rio Morales, asks Finn if her older brother, Rick, still works for Roxxon, Rio's top political target in her campaign for city council. Finn uncomfortably changes the subject to her campaign.
And then we get like a little montage of them like having Christmas dinner. And
yeah, that was pretty fun.
Like having fun or whatever.
Yeah. Is it Christmas Day or Christmas Eve? What was your vibe?
I was thinking, see, as a Hispanic, we usually do everything on Christmas Eve.
But a lot of people do Christmas Eve dinner and then not do much on Christmas Day.
I feel like that's more of a Hispanic thing than like a...
No. I don't think I know a lot of people that do...
I feel like I know a lot of people that do Christmas dinner.
Christmas Day dinner?
Yeah. I personally don't.
What do they do on Christmas Eve? Christmas Eve is a big dinner.
I think they go to bed early and wait for Santa to show up.
Fucking lame.
I got Christmas Eve vibes though.
Okay. Yeah, but then the next day... Maybe they skip the next day though. Anyway, some side notes. Genki's spending a few weeks sleeping over. He's sleeping on the floor.
His parents are like out of town or something.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Just so he's like there, I guess.
Yeah. House guest.
Yeah.
They're not moved in yet.
Yeah. I really like the level of detail in the house, in the apartment. I love this kind of thing. And I know like every game does it. Every game has people putting a shit ton of details in the little things
that normal people won't notice.
Yeah. I just find it fascinating. And I can just walk around the apartment and just look at stuff. It feels like real and lived in, and just shout out to all the artists who made that happen.
Yeah.
Even the parts where like you have to like go find like a record to put on. And so you have to like sort through records, and there's like
a few records that you can pick and stuff. And
you know, it's not super advanced programming or anything, but it's a level of realism where it's like depending, you know, you're gonna get a different response from your mother depending on what record you pick out, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think you
picked
the one that, but there was a record there that was his Uncle Aaron's. And you put that one on, his mom has like a unique reaction to that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, something I didn't notice, I mean, the thing is like when we play this game on stream, like I'm only half paying attention, unfortunately. And so like a lot didn't sink in during this scene, and I went back and rewatched it.
Okay.
Because like after this, like I literally forgot who Finn and Rick were. I'm like, who are these people? Like I'm like, well, we met them. Like we had a whole fucking scene with them. But like the first act of this game puts in a lot of work. Like there's a lot of like early threads being set up here.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you go through the records, like you find Prowler's case file or something.
Yeah.
I don't think we got that far when we played it through, did we?
You mentioned something about it. You're like, oh, Prowler.
Oh, I guess I forgot. Wow.
I think you were tired that night too.
And that might have been it, yeah. Yeah, that whole stream was a blur. If I had one complaint, I feel like there just wasn't enough Christmas in this game. I wanted more.
It's mostly like the setting here.
Yeah.
It's like it takes place during Christmas time.
Well, even just the beginning.
Right.
Like, I mean, like, it's all like Christmas obviously like hangs over for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But still, like, it's between Christmas and New Year, yeah, basically.
I think during the stream, we're also talking about how, like, what Arkham Origin did different was, like, that whole game takes place on, like, the night of Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And it's, like, that's a part of the plot.
Right. Like,
it's Christmas Eve, and all these villains are trying to kill you.
Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah.
And that just, for whatever reason, that just felt more Christmassy than, like, hey, here's a cutscene that takes place during Christmas, and that's it. Because you go back to the apartment a few times. Right. The first time there's boxes that workers are moving in.
Right.
Right. But the Christmas tree is up and they've at least decorated for Christmas. The second time the boxes are all gone. The Christmas tree is still up. The third time the Christmas tree is gone. And that made me sad.
It was probably like January already.
You think?
I don't know. How much time passes?
A few days.
But by the end of the game, it's what, a few weeks?
Well, there's a jump.
Yeah. But I think the main plot is only like maybe like 2 or 3 days.
Right. Right.
It all happens really quick.
The next morning, Genki reveals an app he's written for the neighborhood to contact Spider-Man for help. The first citizen request comes from Aaron Davis, who just happens to be Miles' uncle. Aaron, a subway operator, asks for help fixing the train's communications that have been sabotaged by the underground, led by their new boss, the Tinkerer. Afterwards, Aaron gifts Miles an unlimited subway pass with the name Miles Morales on it, revealing he knows his identity. Aaron says he recognizes fighting moves on the TV, urging him to be careful and to call him if he ever needs help.
This version of Aaron seems very caring of his nephew.
Aren't they
his
all, family. Though?
Not the comic one.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Comic one's kind of a dickhead.
But right, right. But he's pretty caring in the
movie. In the movie too, yeah. He just didn't know that he was Spider-Man in the movie. And when he finds out, he's like, he can't kill him. And then Fisk shoots him. And then that's the whole thing.
Right. I have to rewatch those movies.
They're really good.
Yeah. This might be my favorite version of Aaron Davis. I love this character in this game.
In this game?
Yeah. He was great.
Very nuanced.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, clearly, like, and he's kind of estranged from Miles, but, like, at the same time, like, he clearly cares about Miles and is thinking about him a lot. That he watches, you know, Spider-Man on TV and is like, that's my nephew. Like, I recognize that kid. And then when he calls Spider-Man, like, that only, hearing his voice only confirmed it, you know?
Yeah.
That's cool. That, you know, that lets you know that he at least thinks about him.
Mm-hmm. Which is nice to see, honestly.
Miles admits to his mother, Rio, that he ran into his estranged uncle, which upsets her. He meets up with Finn for their friend date, where they reminisce on old times with Finn's older brother, Rick Mason. Though Finn refuses to talk about him.
He is not the agent in this.
Right. So in this, since Phineas is Finn and is a young girl or young lady,
right,
a teenager, then young girl sounds like a 5-year-old.
Right. Yeah.
Rick is the older brother instead of the son.
Yeah.
That night, there's a campaign rally in Harlem for Rio Morales. Miles and Genki check out the Puerto Rican food trucks and music, and he meets a cute deaf girl he says hello to with his ASL skills. Watching his mother on stage makes him nervous, since the last time a parent was on stage, his father was killed in an attack by Mr. Negative and the Inner Demons. Appropriately, Rio's speech is interrupted by an underground attack, in which the Tinker delivers a message for Roxxon and Simon Krieger that he is a killer. Roxxon security and Miles as Spider-Man fight off the underground. I think it's funny that like everyone seems to want Miles Morales in this game.
Yeah.
He's like the hot commodity. I didn't catch the deaf girl's name. It's like Angela or something. No.
Haley.
Wow. She's in like a mission and she's in several of these like little scenes or whatever.
She actually helps out Spider-Man.
At the end, yeah. She familiar to you at all? Is she from anything, do you think?
I don't think of yeah. like outside of this. Yeah.
She was mentioned one too many times where I'm like, ah, maybe she's someone from the comics.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. I took ASL also in college.
Were the signs that he was using accurate?
I have no idea. I don't remember anything. Damn. I remember. Thank you.
I would assume it's accurate because they usually go to like great lengths to make 100%. Sure they're doing that right.
Could you imagine if they like made it up?
That's what the Inhumans show did.
Did they really? Get the fuck out,
It wasn't ASL. It was like whatever the fuck sign language Black Bolt uses, but it's literally just like...
Because they're like aliens or whatever.
Right, but he's literally just like making random hand motions.
Oh, God. I don't know if you ever hear about the translator, like the ASL translator who like...
He was doing like Naruto signs?
No, they're like making it up.
Oh.
She was just making it up, and she kept on getting work. Because like, I guess like...
I saw one where he was doing like the Naruto like ninja signs that they do in the anime.
Because you know, like they'll put them on the bottom of the screen for like, you know, deaf people or whatever. But like,
it's just nonsense.
Most of the time, they're subtitles, but they only do them for like really important live things,
right?
You know, so like, it's not very common, and I guess there's just not that many deaf people who are watching it anyway to confirm or to deny.
Catch it.
Yeah, so sometimes. Someone will just get work and they're completely fucking lying.
They're just like flailing their arms around.
They're just making up symbols, but like this person got caught like several times.
Oh, that's horrible.
It's so fucking bad.
Oh, no.
Anyway, I really love this part I was saying earlier about the detail and walking around, just really appreciating it.
Oh, the food trucks. Did you look at like the menus and
stuff? Yeah, I looked at the food trucks. I looked at the, I think we were together and I like try to like walk up and like order something. Like the tents.
All of that stuff is awesome. A Puerto Rican food truck right now.
The music was licensed, by the way. It was real music. It was like, I forget what song it is, but it's like a very popular song.
Oh.
That they would have had to have licensed to put in the game. But yeah, it was real. Mm. The characters like salsa dancing, like they, like, obviously they put
a lot into like the showing a little bit of the culture.
Yeah, that was fun. I really enjoyed that.
They put the Puerto Rican flag and not the Cuban flag up.
Oh yeah, the Puerto Rican flag is everywhere. Genki and Rio escape to the hospital to treat Rio's broken arm. An explosion attracts Miles to the nearest bridge where there's a standoff between Roxxon security and the underground. The attack at the plaza was just a distraction as the Tinkerer shows up and instructs her underground followers to focus on stealing the new form from Roxxon's armored truck. Spider-Man wrestles the Tinkerer for the new form, but his venom electricity short-circuits the Tinkerer's mask made of light matter, which reveals her face to Miles. It's Finn. She knocks Miles into the truck full of new form, and his uncontrolled venom powers start destabilizing it and it explodes. Tinker and the Underground run away with one canister of the new form while Miles saves citizens from the collapsing bridge. Once the dust settles, Miles blames himself for the destruction and is cornered by Roxxon security, now on orders to attack Spider-Man. Guns to his face, he miraculously disappears and swings away quietly.
Yeah, that was a little tense when they all pull the guns on him.
That was fun.
Right after he saved everybody.
That was good, yeah.
Yeah. And it felt, probably intentionally so, very much like what's been going on in our country with the police.
No, this would have come out around the same time.
Yeah.
No, it came out during the winter. That's a coincidence. They would have had that all drawn up by then, though.
Well, this has been happening in the country for a while.
No, sure. But if you're talking about, like, all
of... No, specific situation, no. No,
because that, like, was 2020, wasn't it? Or 2021?
Like, I think it was 2020.
It was summer of 2020, I thought.
Summer of 2020. This came out winter of 2020?
Yeah.
This would have already been in production, but intentionally so in the whole, like, you know, this is something that has been happening.
Sure, yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say?
Right. you know, it puts them in a tough spot because they can't, they're not going to, like, complain about real police.
Right.
But rocks on security, for sure.
Well, when the first Spider-Man game came out, the first PS4 one came out, I remember there was a lot of people complaining that Spider-Man was so buddy-buddy with the police.
I mean, okay.
Which, from, like, as a comic fan, I'm like, yeah, he was always kind of, like, at odds with them. Like, it made sense that he had, like, Yuri in the force that he was working with her.
Right.
But, like, the rest of the police are usually, like, kind of on Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But what people were complaining about was that a superhero was working with the police, basically, in general.
I mean, like, the superhero worlds are a different world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's like, listen, yeah, sometimes the police sucks. But also, like, is it so crazy that in this fictional world that the police are actually what they're supposed to be?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, this is a different reality.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, like,
it's kind of like, you know, Spider-Man and Superman, like, their deal is kind of to, like, praise the first responders.
Right.
You know, it's like when Superman would say, oh, I'm not the hero. The real heroes are these guys, the police, the medics,
right,
the firefighters,
the people that don't have superpowers but are still out here.
But are putting their lives on the line and yada, yada, yada. Like, that's the deal. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So these comics specifically is not the place to do the commentary on the police. Unless you kind of do it like this where it's like, oh, here's like this paramilitary.
Right. And it's like... It gets the message across, but it's not, you know...
It's not stepping on anyone's toes, really.
Oh, the police
really
showed up and started firing at Miles.
Yeah.
No. Like, no.
Right. No, but I like the scene where someone's like, oh, hey, I'm recording all this, whatever.
Yeah,
and he's like, I'm recording put your fucking phone down. I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah, they don't fucking care.
It's like, oh, fuck, okay.
But no, I did like how the civilians were trying to stand up for him.
Right.
Until,
he saves everybody.
Until they were threatened.
Yeah. And he gets his really cool... First of all, it's a really cool sequence.
Yeah.
But he gets his little Spider-Man moment where he's holding everything together with his webs.
Yeah. I feel like every Spider-Man has to do some sort of like crazy feat of strength like that.
Exactly. Yeah. They're all going to get it eventually. It's all thanks to...
Tobey
Maguire.
Yeah. I think it happens in the comics first.
I mean, probably. Like, I'm just saying.
It's a similar thing to what happened in Homecoming...
With the fairy, yeah.
No, well, not, I'm thinking about when he's like covered in the rubble.
Oh, okay.
And he like lifts it up. I think that's from the comics. That's like straight from a panel.
Yeah, that's from a comic panel.
But that's
for sure.
Not like him saving people. That's him like.
I'm talking about like he's holding a bridge together with all his webbing, and he's the kind of
he's the one doing it. Like
he's the linchpin in the middle. You know.
Yeah, that's very much from Spider-Man too.
Right. That's the train scene, then, which is in the fairy scene.
The fairy scene and. Did Andrew Garfield get a scene like that?
Oh, probably not.
He got the Gwen scene.
Wow.
Oh, man.
But I also feel like every Spider-Man has to have this moment where they feel like they're all alone and they're like, they've hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
Kind of happens later, too, but like this moment specifically is like Spider-Man, real Spider-Man's gone.
Yep. And then Miles is like, okay, so my mom got attacked. I fucked up and blew up a bridge.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
And everybody's trying to kill me.
Yeah, right. Including like both sides are against me now.
Yeah.
Like I'm the odd guy out. I'm wanted, basically.
Yep.
The bridge is made up, by the way. It's not a real bridge.
Thank God they didn't blow up a real bridge.
The bridges nearby are, I forget, there's
It was
so
the
Latverian
Bridge.
Yeah. It was called like the, had like a real British name. And I was like, that's weird. And I looked it up and it's like
that's not real.
It's not real. Yeah. It's like a town in Wales or something. But
I'm sure if they had the rights to a real bridge, they would have used a real bridge.
Well, it's kind of modeled after the Brooklyn Bridge, but like they don't want to blow up a real bridge.
Also,
I guess.
True. Yeah.
So they just made one up.
Philly said, who needs to hold two halves of something together? You can watch your girlfriend bounce off concrete like a
Jesus
basketball.
Fucking Christ. I'm going to pretend like I didn't read that.
Well, he was trying to be the linchpin between
right, you know.
Her and the clock and the ground. It just didn't work.
Okay. The next day, Simon Krieger publicly blames the new Spider-Man's bioelectricity for costing them valuable property and destroying the bridge. But Miles can only focus on the fact that his best friend Finn is the Tinkerer and the leader of the Underground.
Yeah, that sucks.
That's not good, buddy. That's rough. Genki urges Miles that whenever he talks about Spider-Man, he's talking about the original. But Miles is Spider-Man and can fix this mess his way. The two spend time working on electricity-resistant materials, drawing up suit concepts, and testing their prototypes until Miles has his own black and red spider suit.
Hell yeah.
That was a pretty fun montage.
Yep.
And in that montage is where he's practicing hanging upside down and drinking coffee.
Yeah, he's trying
as to... if that's important.
But no, his new suit looks good. And I do like what a good friend Genki is here.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, you keep saying Spider-Man like you're not him. Right. Like,
well, and that kind of goes back to like the whole, there's two heroes with the same name because of the incursion that they had.
Right.
You know, and now they both have to coexist and they're both Spider-Man.
The thing is, they are both Spider-Man.
No, right. But yeah. Typically, they would have named them different names.
Right.
And the only other example I can think about is Captain America, where when Sam Wilson becomes Captain America, he's just Captain America. But then...
Doesn't Steve Rogers become U.S. agent?
No, Steve Rogers comes back and is also Captain America. And there was a time when they were both Captain America. Their issues were called Sam Wilson Captain America and Steve Rogers Captain America.
That's right. That's right.
And that's when he was like, Hail Hydra.
Oh, yeah, because that was a whole other thing.
That was a whole thing. But like he was like coming back from either the dead or retirement.
He came
or
from
something.
Like another dimension or something, I think.
I don't fucking remember.
It was weird.
Yeah. I was resisting using too many spider suits because I wanted to feel really into the story.
That's
you know?
What I do when I play too. Like, I don't really ever change my suit. Or if I do, it's not anything like... I don't change it to, like, another character completely.
Okay,
but also,
yeah.
Like, if, like, there's a canon suit, I want to be wearing that suit during the story events.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
So on replays, I'll change my suit.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah, for sure. So, like, I had access to the advanced suit.
Advanced tech suit
yeah
or
that one
yeah.
Because that came out after the game had released.
Yeah, it was like a
DLC kind of situation. So I had access to that suit from the very beginning of the game and I used it for like a fight and I'm like, wait, he hasn't earned this yet, I can't wear it,
right? It doesn't feel right.
Right, so then I took, because I'm like, there's gonna be a fucking, and I knew, I'm like, there's gonna be a whole fucking montage where he makes his suit and it's gonna
because
feel
this is
weird
an origin story.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was like, I'm gonna put on the fucking Spider-Man pajamas again and keep playing with that.
I do the same thing.
Yeah. Or there's another suit where it's basically like a homemade suit. And he's wearing like Tim's and like a sweater and like jeans and like glasses.
Oh, yeah.
Like I wore that one for a little
bit. It's very clearly inspired by like both the Andrew Garfield homemade suit and the Tom Holland one, like kind of mixed together.
Yeah. But also like if he was Miles Morales.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he's wearing a lot of the same clothes he wears like as Miles Morales, like his Timberlands.
Yeah. But it's just like that makeshift spider gear along with it.
Yeah. Miles breaks into Rick Mason's repair shop, now seemingly abandoned, but really an active hideout for Finn, aka the Tinkerer. He learns Rick was actually the project lead for New Form, and that he and most of his team were sick from the New Form exposure. The two siblings plan on destroying all the New Form and exposing Roxxon. Miles then breaks into Roxxon to find the rest of Finn's footage, but is intercepted by the notorious thief, the Prowler, who immediately reveals himself to be Miles' uncle, Aaron Davis. He tries to stop Miles from staying at Roxxon because it's too dangerous. Miles refuses, so the Prowler helps him out. Miles overhears Simon Krieger have a Tony Stark built this in a cave with a box of scraps moment when his top scientist can't reproduce New Form without Rick Mason. Miles then finds Finn's old phone she lost while recording herself and Rick try to destroy the New Form reactor. The energy produced makes people sick and slowly kills them. Instead, they were caught by Simon Krieger, who locked Rick in with the reactor as it exploded and killed him.
That was a little fucked up.
Yeah, that cutscene was dark.
Yeah.
Miles decides that he must use his powers to finish destroying the reactor and all the others across the city before they hurt anyone. Miles escapes by fighting security alongside Prowler. I really like this part where you fight with Prowler. I thought that was fun.
Yeah. And then the Prowler suit looks so cool in this game.
It's pretty nice. Mm-hmm. Everyone has the most high-tech shit. And it's like, where are they all getting this from?
I think everybody's just a genius and makes it.
Yeah. He's probably like bought his way up through like thieving.
Yeah.
You know, made some trades with some people, probably Oscorp. He was doing like high-profile shit.
Right. Roxxon as well.
Well, I think he mentioned Oscorp.
Oh, he does mention them?
I thought he did. Oh, along with, I with Roxxon. Yeah. Well, no, there's a whole side mission where you go and you get all the... I'm going to mention it later.
The sound samples.
The sound samples. And like
that's a good side mission.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah. It was confusing at first.
Oh, he talks about his past a bit. Yeah.
Prowler's keen criminal intuition suggests that Miles use his friendship with Finn to learn more. Miles meets with Finn in person and admits he'd learned about Rick's death and that she's the Tinkerer. He offers to help her by joining the Underground. She reluctantly agrees and takes him parkouring to see if he's capable to join. He passes her test without looking too nimble and athletic and is welcomed into the Underground's base in the abandoned Fisk Tower. I love the part. First of all, she expects him to like walk across.
These are not things that normal people can do.
Absolutely not. Walk across a crane from one skyscraper to the other and then jump.
Near the top of the skyscraper, and which there's wind, by the way, when you're that high up.
And it's snowing?
Yeah.
I was like, this isn't a glitch, right? It's fucking snowing. That was fucking terrifying.
Like stupid, dangerous shit. And then he's just like, oh, I got to not make this look too good because I'm Spider-Man.
Right. Like, he can do it no problem. But he's like, oh, maybe I should kind of fall a little bit. By the way, that's
such a Spider-Man thing to do is like make yourself seem unassuming on purpose.
Right. It's like the basketball scene. Like, play basketball, but don't fucking...
Don't shatter the backboard.
That's the difference between Andrew Garfield and Tom Holland Spider-Man, where like Andrew Garfield is like, fuck it, I'll fucking play basketball, beat everyone here.
I'll show you.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck. And Tom Holland literally has a line where he's like, yeah, I can play football, but like...
But like, I can't.
But I can't do that. You know what I mean? No, you're right.
It's like, I could do it, but like, I shouldn't.
Yeah.
It reminds me of at the end of the first Incredibles movie when... Their son Dash is on the
he's like speeding
is he
up
running and like a
it's like track and field. He's like a 100-meter dash
and he starts running like slow down.
And he wins but just barely. And he gets excited, everyone's like
slower.
While infiltrating the gang, he suits up as Spider-Man and goes invisible to eavesdrop where they're taking the stolen new form canister. Finn's plan is to collect as much power as possible in the form of batteries and generators at their theater hideout with the new form. So he's like invisible, and then he goes down to like take a picture of the map, but they're literally sitting there talking.
He's like right in front of them. Yeah.
And Finn kind of like looks around, kind of like feel him breathing a little bit. Yeah. That was pretty cool.
It was tense because it's like, oh, what if his like camo like stops, or what if they have like infrared or...
Well, later
heat
on,
signature,
they do.
They adapt.
They do, because they have infinite money.
Well, I mean, they've got all of Fisk's assets.
Oh, yeah, true.
I think they mentioned there's like trap doors everywhere and like money hidden all over the place.
That's awesome. That's a place you steal.
Yes.
At the theater, Miles discovers that Finn is charging the new form like his Venom did in order to destroy Roxxon Plaza before it opens. He's caught, and the Tinkerer takes the new form and escapes. Spider-Man chases her down the Upper East Side, and the two cause a ton of collateral damage.
So much collateral damage.
Their fight leads to a rooftop where Finn has Spider-Man at sword point. He takes his mask off and reveals his identity to Finn, who is shocked and escapes.
Everybody just knows who Miles is now.
Yeah, you know, like, that's the thing about Spider-Man. They're not very careful who they tell share their identity with.
It's like they are, but they aren't.
Yeah, like everybody knows.
Because like, I can't tell anybody who I am to protect the people I care about, but also I'm going to tell everybody I care about who I am.
I care about a lot of people, though. He should do what Tom Holland did and just make everyone forget.
Jeez. I just thought about something that I didn't think of when I watched the movie. Did everybody in every universe forget who Peter Parker is? So does that mean...
No way.
The other Peter Parkers are forgotten too?
No. Imagine one day you wake up and just no one knows you're Spider-Man.
Imagine you're Andrew Garfield, already kind of depressed. You go back to your universe and now nobody even knows who you are.
Yeah. I'm convinced he's staying over and he's going to be, what's his name?
Ben Reilly.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Like, do I'd that. Be cool with you that. Can make a Spider-Man, and you can make your Amazing Spider-Man 3, but it's about him becoming Ben Reilly and like figuring out his life in this new universe. Yeah. And then,
but we saw him go home.
I know, but he didn't make it. I don't know. There was an incursion. Who fucking cares?
Just yeah, that it. Universe got destroyed.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And then he meets that universe's version of Gwen
Stacy.
But she's Spider-Gwen.
Whoa.
And it's Ben Reilly and Spider-Gwen, and that's the Amazing Spider-Man 3.
Whole spider team up.
Ah, oh, that'd be cool. Anyway.
It could be good or disastrous.
I've been saying this shit for years, since like that movie came out.
I just want more Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man. Someone-
I just want someone to listen to me and make it happen.
I'll even take Andrew Call Garfield Disney. As the Spider-Man in that really weird Sony universe that's going on right now.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see, because then they're going to do the whole spider totem thing.
That's Madam clearly Web, where they're yeah. going with it, yeah.
Did we talk about Madam Web on the on news?
Oh, shit. I don't think we did. I don't think we did.
We didn't we?
No.
Fuck. Anyway.
We'll talk about it next time.
10 points for the acting. I feel like we should end the motion capture.
Oh.
There's a lot of emotion on these characters' faces as video game characters. I feel like that has to be difficult. I don't know the ins and outs of game motion capture.
No, it's not easy to do.
But especially
I've seen some behind the scenes stuff and it's like, yeah, you're acting, but like you're wearing these funny suits, you have cameras like stuck on your face.
And I feel like the actors, whether it be the actual voice actors who did it or there's different motion capture actors, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But Finn, Aaron, as in the Prowler, and Miles are all fantastic.
Yeah.
You see all the emotion in their faces. It's very well acted and captured and animated and rendered and all that shit.
Yeah, credit to the acting and to the game directors.
Oh, no, yeah, for sure. Yeah, they're fucking...
Because that's got to be hard to do, too.
No, they're literally filming a movie and then putting it in a game. You know, and I'm sure we talked about this last time, but like the video game cutscenes, like used to be a joke. Like you'd be like, oh, skip it as soon as possible because it's not fun. It's boring. I just want to do some action.
They were just exposition dumps that were not well acted.
Yeah. But this is a movie. Like both of these have been movies where like you don't want to skip the cutscenes at all.
And the closest thing we had to this in the older games was back when like old PC games normally would do like the live action cutscenes. But it was usually really poor acting.
Yeah, but it was just like literally filmed. Yeah. Like it's actual live action.
But they
action,
at least attempted it. You know, they were attempting storytelling. But now we've come a long way.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So shout out to them. Miles goes to Prowler for advice. He leaves a series of sound samples for Miles to find to explain what really happened between the two brothers. As Miles puts together his dad's and uncle's beats, he learns their history. As they grew up, Jefferson Davis became a police officer, while Aaron became the notorious high-profile thief, the Prowler. Jefferson Davis was assigned to his case and dropped the investigation, along with his relationship with his brother. Is that how I wrote that down, but I didn't quite remember if that's exactly what had happened.
I think that is what happened.
Okay.
Yeah, because like he didn't really want anything to do with Aaron anymore, but he also didn't want to put him away either.
Right. I think he gave it. I don't think he dropped the investigation so much as he recused himself from it.
Yeah.
And it was just someone else's problem.
Mm-hmm. But he still had the case file.
Right. Once Jefferson died, Aaron retired the Prowler persona out of respect until now. Miles tells him he's going to meet with Finn at Trinity Church to talk her straight. Once he leaves, Prowler tells someone on the phone where to find the Tinkerer, but must leave Spider-Man alone. Sold him out.
Wasn't a sellout.
I know. Yeah. There's some really good little bits there where he's like, he's talking to Miles and like, he's got someone on the phone. He's like, oh, not now. And he hangs up real quick. And then like, later on,
what the hell was that?
Yeah. You're like, who are you talking to? What are you up to? And I think they do a really good job where like everyone playing this game probably knows who the Prowler is, knows he's a villain. And even not even that, but just by watching him, and even in his costume, you're like, that's a villain.
Right. Like that's not a hero's costume.
Like, even if, like, you can put two and two together, like, there's going to be a turn here. And so, like, it's not a surprise that he's Prowler, obviously. It's not a surprise that he's kind of, like, villainous in some way. So they have to really kind of get you along the way and make it interesting along the way. And I think they did a really good job because at no point was I bored with the Prowler storyline, even though I knew where it was going.
Yeah, and even then, though, it still kind of like throws some curves there. Like, he's not exactly what you expect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once you learn his motivations and stuff, you're like, all right, you know what? This is a little different than the Prowler story that we know.
No, right. And his entire motivation this entire game is just keeping Mal safe.
Yeah.
And, like, he wasn't the Prowler. Like, he gave that up because his brother died, and now he has this immense sense of guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, the only reason he picks it up is because he's like, ah, shit, that his kid is Spider-Man? He doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. I gotta go help him out.
I gotta protect him. Yeah. Oh, shit.
Yeah, just when you thought you were done. At Trinity Church, Finn asks Miles to look the other way while she destroys Roxxon, which Miles refuses. They are at an impasse. They reminisce for a minute before Rhino is dropped from a helicopter above them and attacks.
This was insane.
The most Spider-Man thing ever, that you get like a supervillain just drop on you from above. Just
Alexi screaming at you.
Yeah.
I do love Rhino. He's fun. He's so stupid, though.
Rhino is dropped from a helicopter above them and attacks, this time with an additional layer of Roxxon electric-proof armor. He easily knocks them both out, and they awaken prisoners at Roxxon. There, Simon Krieger admits that he didn't think Spider-Man would be an issue, but now wants to dissect him to research him for his bioelectricity. Left alone with guards, Spider-Man and Finn escape and overhear a conversation between Simon and the Prowler. Prowler is furious that Spider-Man was kidnapped along with the Tinkerer, which was not part of their deal. Prowler agrees to find the missing new form if he actually lets Spider-Man go. Going back to like the acting or whatever, Troy Baker is incredible.
He's so good at being like this insufferable douchebag.
Yeah. And like Simon Krieger reminds me of a character and I can't quite pinpoint it.
But he's also like a weird mixture of like
Lex Luthor, you know,
Tony Stark, and then to bring some real life people, Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk.
He is a little Mark Zuckerberg, isn't he? Where he's like trying to be cool, but he's not.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's just like this mixture of all these like just kind of insufferable, super rich douchebags.
Like he'll whisper talk a little bit. He's making jokes no one's laughing at.
They're not that funny.
Yeah. He's like...
He's got like that millennial lingo.
Yeah, but he's very believable. And it's because he's like you said, like...
No, it's like
Zuckerberg and Elon Musk. Those are real people.
And they do like talk like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, you're so out of touch. It's crazy.
Right. Yeah. Totally believable character. He's only... Really has like 3 or 4 scenes.
Yeah.
Steals the show. I really liked him.
Like we said, Troy Baker is an amazing voice actor. He plays Joel in the Last of Us game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I think he was Joker in Arkham Origins.
He was a Joker, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. And he did a good job with that, too.
Yeah, no, for sure. He's filling in for Mark Hamill, for fuck's sake. While escaping, Miles downloads the company's secrets from Simon Krieger's personal computer to use against them, and Finn and Miles have to fight off the new and improved armored Rhino. Defeated, Rhino antagonizes Finn about her dead brother, so Finn puts a sword to his neck while Miles learns that Krieger adjusted the reactor so an explosion would wipe out all of Harlem. No longer the victimless crime Finn had imagined. Finn stabs Rhino, and Miles kicks her off of him. Finn has had enough of Miles and his treachery and threatens to kill him if he gets in her way.
Oh, she's lost it.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple like scenes, and it's not scenes. It's like dialogue between them as they're, you know, escaping from Roxxon.
Yeah.
And where she's like, why did you like abandon me? Basically, like when he becomes Spider-Man, he can become so busy that kind of their friendship goes by the wayside. He not knowing... that she's going through all this other shit where like Rick died and it's all because of, or he was sick first, and it's all because of Roxxon and they want to stop new form.
He had no idea about any of that until he found the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as he's busy having fun as Spider-Man, she's just like fucking getting it, you know?
Yeah.
Falling deeper and deeper and deeper. And she's like, you weren't there. So like, why should I fucking trust you? You know?
Right. It's nobody's fault.
No,
but it is one of those things where it's like, you know, you feel a certain way about a situation, you start acting a certain way.
Yeah. And it's just like Peter Parker, Spider-Man. Like, Spider-Man kind of creates all his villains.
Unintentionally, but yeah.
And they're all, like, people he knows, for the most part.
Yeah.
And so this is no different.
In the MCU, it's Iron Man creates all of Spider-Man's villains.
And he's just got to clean up after him.
Not all of his villains, but like the first two.
In fairness, like Tom Holland hasn't created any of his villains.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're right.
Because fucking that's Tobey Maguire's Green Goblin.
Yep.
Tobey Maguire created that one. I mean, yeah.
Well,
not really either.
No, but
but he knows him. You know, that's his problem.
Yeah. Well, Andrew Garfield didn't really make Electro.
I guess he doesn't really create his villains, but he knows them all personally.
Yeah, and there's always the villains always blame him for some reason, though.
Right. Yeah. It's very personal to them.
Yeah, to them, not to Peter.
Yeah. Also, is Rhino dead? Did she really kill him?
Unclear.
It is unclear, right?
I don't think so.
I think, watching it back, I think you hear him breathing. Like, kind of like, you know?
Yeah.
I think she stabs him, but I don't think he's dead.
Right.
I also wrote down this level was actually pretty hard. Like, fighting Rhino was pretty hard.
I thought it was a fun boss fight. I thought it was one of the more fun boss fights in the game, honestly.
Well, this game doesn't have as many boss fights as the last one.
This only has, three? Maybe four?
You fight Prowler, Rhino, and then Tinker.
Oh, yeah. That's, like, it.
That's kind of pretty much it. Yeah. You basically can't hurt him. You have to, like, punch all of the red armor off.
Yep. And then you got to get him to, like, run into something.
Yeah. And then there's, like, these tanks, and they have, like, fucking engines in them. You have to charge up the engines.
And then throw it at him.
While not getting punched or hit by anybody.
Yeah.
And there's, like, other guys there. And then swing it at Rhino, because Rhino's, he's also attacking you. And then swing it at Rhino. That knocks him down, and then you can punch him for a little bit. It's actually pretty difficult.
Do you remember the Rhino boss fight from, like, the first 3D Spider-Man game where he just kind of runs at you and you just jump and he hits like a little electric thing. It's like, rah, 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 and you just do that four times and he's dead.
No.
Oh. Did you ever play that Spider-Man game?
Which one was that?
The one on like the N64.
I did play
PlayStation
it, but
1.
Yeah, I played that one, but I don't think I got far. I probably didn't get that far.
Oh, wow. That's like the fourth level.
I was a kid. I only played it.
I was a kid when I played it.
I mean, I remember the training and I remember
the bank mission, the first mission.
Yeah.
Did you throw the bomb in the safe?
The Sony building is in that game.
It's the first building you climb up,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Or the first building you see.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember there's a lot of like ceiling crawling above people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a good game, honestly.
You got that? You probably have that game on one of your 15 emulators.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I own it on N64.
Yeah.
And I have the disc for the PlayStation also.
Well, I mean, I played that game. I probably didn't make it that far into it. And then not far after that was the first movie tie-in game.
That was probably like 2 years later, yeah.
Yeah, which was an incredibly similar game.
Yes, and the gameplay was almost the same.
They just kind of like, it's different characters and maps and stuff. Yeah.
But gameplay is like almost identical.
Pretty much. The Revolutionary game wasn't until Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember we did a background on all the Spider-Man games last time we did this.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah, wow. Oh, it's that point in the podcast where we forget all the shit we've already done.
It's been a while.
Yep. I like that Spider-Man finds a very Spider-Man way to take down Roxxon, but Finn is still not about it. He hacks onto the computers, and he's like, wait a second, we can probably like, steal the data and then just take that to like reporters
like expose
and the police
it, yeah.
and expose them. And she's like, no, we can actually just blow them the fuck up.
He's like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. And because the thing is like, he wants to get rid of Roxxon too. He wants to take him down, but like, he's going to do it his way.
He also doesn't want his neighborhood exploding.
Right.
To be fair, Finn doesn't think that's going to happen, but
at this point, yeah.
Yeah.
But she's also taking, and she's also like complicit.
Because he was discovering that this would happen right as the terminal was getting destroyed.
Right. But she also like joined the underground. And the underground is like a gang, and they've like murdered people.
Right.
So, like, she's complicit in a ton of
and
crimes.
She weaponized them.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. And those weapons have probably killed people along the way.
Yeah.
You know? Miles returns home injured from his fight and is caught by Rio. She discovers he's Spider-Man, and she, Miles, and Genki come up with a plan to stop Finn. Should be noted that they live, like, two blocks away from Roxxon Plaza.
Oh, yeah. You can just look out the window and see it.
Yeah. If Roxxon were to explode, they'd be fucked.
They're vaporized, yeah.
Yeah. Rio and Genki will evacuate the neighborhood while Miles has to stop Finn as Spider-Man. Genki discovers that Finn's final hideout is the abandoned Oscorp Science Center. Spider-Man heads that way, but is shot down by the Prowler.
Oh, yeah. You got surprised here.
Oh, I scared the shit out of me. Because you're just like, you know, you're traversing as normal.
Mm-hmm.
You're only about halfway there, and then boom, you get hit from behind.
Kind of like what happens in Arkham.
Yep. Thinking the same thing in like this.
Arkham Knight.
Yeah. Yeah. If you go
you zip to the rooftop and sometimes it'll be Man-Bat. Sometimes you'll see like a hallucination of Joker.
Joker, yeah.
Just like, like, boo!
Dude, I've never been more jump scared because I don't play scary games like you do.
Right.
So I've never been more jump scared playing a game than Arkham Knight.
Because you're just traversing normally. It's like,
Yeah. There's no need for this at all. I'm like throwing my controller down and shit. Like, fuck that.
Oh, yeah, you wouldn't do well with horror games, huh?
Oh, no, I won't do that shit. I think the only one time I was at your house and you had one on VR. What game was that?
Resident Evil.
Oh, yeah. And you're just like, it's fucking terrifying.
You're sitting in a chair and you're tied up and, yeah.
And you're just looking around and you're like, fuck. Because, like, in real life, you sit on a chair.
Right.
To do it.
It feels very real.
Oh, I didn't like that at all.
No, it's spooky. I remember that.
I have a quote here from Birdo, and it is, Rio is a MILF in every universe.
She
care
is.
To explain?
Have you seen her?
She's not as cute in this one as like the
movie.
She's
a little
movie.
Older in this one, but it's like in the older, movie, yeah. Look her up in the comics too. She is a beautiful Puerto Rican woman.
Miles wakes up in a prison set up by his uncle, the Prowler. Prowler urges him to stay there safely while Tinker and Simon kill themselves fighting. But Miles can't help but be Spider-Man. He refuses to let innocent people get hurt. Prowler yells at Miles that he's just trying to protect him and refuses to lose him along with his brother. But Miles refuses to let people die just to save his skin. He uses his venom powers to escape and defeats the Prowler in a fight. Miles tells his uncle that being family is not an excuse to lie, manipulate, and hurt each other and leaves him.
So this was like a really interesting part of both Miles and Aaron's story, I think, because
mm-hmm.
in this particular situation, like, they're both in the right.
Well, it's a selfish versus selfless right. argument, right?
Yeah, but Aaron's like, he doesn't want him to throw his life away, you know?
Right, and he
like, he's trying to protect Miles, but he's doing it in a selfish way,
I think
or for selfish reasons, I guess.
Right, and yeah. I think the best point he makes is, don't fight an enemy you can't beat.
Right.
And it's like, Spider-Man would never take that into consideration. That's what makes him Spider-Man.
Yeah, and Spider-Man's going to go and try his damnedest anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, he's not going to assess a situation and be like, I should probably leave this up to, like, Captain America.
It's crazy, because Spider-Man's super smart, I mean? But he's also super, like, rash.
He's very emotional, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's instinct-driven. Really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but this is one of those moments that, like, really cements Miles as Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, because he's,
like you said,
he understands what Spider-Man, being Spider-Man means.
Right.
Like, obviously, Aaron's not going to understand that. But at the same time, Aaron's just like, damn it, like, I already lost my brother. Now I'm going to lose you, too.
Well, right. His selfishness comes from the fact that he feels guilt for Jefferson.
Yeah.
I mean, he may have not killed Jefferson, but he also, like,
he never amended things with him
exactly.
or anything. Yeah.
He disappointed him, and he always probably put off making amends.
No, and he probably thinks the only way he can make amends is protect Miles.
Exactly. By extension, protecting Miles or fixing his relationship
like,
with Miles.
Then maybe he can forgive himself.
Right.
Yeah.
So it is selfish. It's not not just that he
selfish,
wants to protect
but
Miles.
But it is also love. So it's like,
yeah.
And love can be very selfish.
No, and experience. Like, he has experience in like the fucking supervillain game.
Yeah. No, like, no, he's like, they will kill you.
Yeah. Like, are you sure you can do this?
But no, it's this boss fight was the fight itself was okay. It's mostly just you beating the shit out of him. But
it was a good fight.
The dialogue in the fight, I think, is what really
for sure
makes it memorable.
Yeah. At the Oscorp Science Center, by the way, this is a new place. This wasn't in the last game, right?
I don't know.
I don't think it was.
It's in Spider-Man 2.
Oh, is it?
But I mean, also, like, that's part of the city, so it makes sense that it would be there.
Yeah, but I'm saying, I'm pretty sure it wasn't in Spider-Man 1.
Like, that area, I don't think you were able to access that part of the city.
Of course you were. The map's the same.
I think they expanded some parts of it, but also cut off parts, other parts.
No, it was all of Manhattan and the raft. Like, that was the first game. This is the same exact map with some changes.
Oh, they...
Like, some buildings are different. Like, the Rocks on building and...
The Rocks on building.
The Chrysler building's gone.
We don't have
gone.
The Chrysler building anymore. Yeah.
Oh, we didn't mention it, but
That's like a generic skyscraper
now,
right?
It's just a generic skyscraper. Like, the Chrysler building apparently, like, went through new ownership, and, like, they would have to license the likeness of the building again for every video game.
Do it in time.
And, like, they didn't respond or something.
And same thing happened with Spider-Man
That's
2, so the Chrysler building's not
stupid.
There either. Which sucks, because it's an iconic New York building.
It's like the second most iconic building in New York.
Besides, like, Empire State Building. And formerly the World Trade Center.
Well, I mean, the new World Trade Center building, One World Trade Center, sometimes called Freedom Tower, like, the same thing. They didn't license it. So, like, they have a building that kind of looks like it, but not really.
It's not quite, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Who owns the Statue of Liberty's rights?
I don't know. Maybe it's public domain. I don't know how any of that fucking works. Well, it's federal, probably.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Because it was a gift from France, right?
To our government. That's what I'm saying. Like, it belongs to New York. It doesn't belong to, like, a company.
Yeah.
So they don't have to, they probably don't have to license it.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, the Oscorp Science Center, the thing about it is that, like, it's not a new thing in story. It's an old
right.
thing.
It's just, it's a that, new on the map.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is, for me, it was kind of weird. This doesn't matter. I'm just being picky and fucking weird.
How dare they expand their game?
At the Oscorp Science Center, Miles has a flashback of when he visited with Finn after winning their science award years prior. He and Finn had snuck past security and unknowingly also past Peter Parker and his mentor, Otto Octavius.
This was a nice little cameo.
That was so fun. I just followed them around for a little bit and like listened to their...
It was good to see Otto not evil again.
Yeah, because this is like... Well, it's
probably like right before they started working on the... Little yeah. hand that he was working on.
Yeah, because they were kind of mentioning it. That it was like, oh, I think this is the way to like,
yeah,
you know,
they were like brainstorming
do the
it.
Thing or whatever. Mm. He's probably already Spider-Man though.
Well, yeah, no, he had already been Spider-Man for like
a few years,
like 10
or a decade
10 years
or, whatever,
or something
yeah.
like that. It might have been like 7 years, a pretty significant yeah. amount of time.
This flashback is only like 3 years or so.
Yeah, so he's yeah. already been Spider-Man for a bit at this point.
Cool. I thought that was so cool. In the present, he's attacked by Finn, who takes a new form and leaves, refusing to listen to his new information about the reactor. Spider-Man is left to fight off the underground and finally escapes during the worst snowstorm in years. The underground and Roxxon have started a massive battle in the streets of Harlem, and citizens are trying to escape. Spider-Man fights both sides before the reactor starts to pulsate. Prowler arrives after a change of heart to help save citizens with Rio and Genki. At the reactor, Spider-Man tells the Tinkerer the reactor has been altered and the explosion will kill millions, but she refuses to believe him.
Yeah, she thinks that she knows everything because she ran the numbers.
Right, like originally.
Right, but things changed. Yeah. Didn't like Krieger do something?
Yeah, like he changed something.
He was like trying to accelerate the production or something. And,
yeah. He's trying to CEO his way through it.
Mm-hmm.
The two have an epic final fight that only ends when Tinkerer witnesses the reactor sending shockwaves throughout Harlem and realizes it will indeed destroy the neighborhood. Rubble sends Finn falling off the skyscraper, but Spider-Man saves her. On the ground, Miles struggles to make his way to the pulsating reactor and uses all his power to stop it. Unfortunately, Miles has now absorbed all the energy in his body and has to release it, which could cause just as much damage. Finn sees this, activates her jump boots, grabs Miles, and starts carrying him up the skyscraper. She jumps high up into the sky, way above the clouds, and tells Miles it's okay, he can let go. He releases the built-up energy and causes a huge explosion in the sky over Manhattan. His body falls down and survives, but Finn is obliterated.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing left.
Oh, yeah, for sure. She's just
gone.
Confetti.
Yeah.
Spider-Man has saved New York. The neighbors see his face, but create a wall to shield him from reporters, saying that he's their Spider-Man.
This was a nice moment. I think this did the...
Spider-Man 2?
Yes, but it did it better than Spider-Man 2 did.
Yeah.
He's they just even a have kid. They even have the line in here. He's like, oh, he's so young.
Yeah. But this time he is.
Yeah, he's not like a 35-year-old man.
Tobey
like,
Maguire,
he's
yeah.
just a kid no older than my son.
Yeah.
It's like, this man looks like almost your age, dude. Yeah. Like,
and there's a little kid. I fucking love that scene so
we
much.
We won't tell anyone.
Yeah, that kid is like 13. He's like pretending to be like 5 years old.
We won't tell anyone, promise. Which, don't get me wrong, in the movie, like, that is a nice scene. But what they did here, I think, captures that energy a lot better.
Yeah, it was a little bit of like, this is New York. You mess with one of us, you mess with all of us.
Right, but it was like, this is Harlem. Yeah.
It would have worked a little bit better, I think, if he, like, lost his mask. You know, but like, he puts it back on, and then the reporters show up, and it's like, well, what's the point of hiding him? You know, like, he's masked up or whatever.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's Haley, is her name? The deaf girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, she, like, gives him his mask back.
She's like, here. Here, put it on. Hurry.
Like, quick. Great fucking finale.
Yeah.
I think that I did not see any of this coming. I didn't think it was going to be big stakes. I didn't think it was going to be this emotional.
Well, it would have just been one neighborhood wiped out.
Yeah, no big deal. It's only millions of people.
I know, right? But it's not like it's the entire city.
Yeah. No, but this was really, really good. And
yeah.
The shot of her holding him while, like, in the fucking air, and he's like, I'm going to blow up now.
Yeah.
That's good.
And I like that, you know, it actually took into account that if you absorb that much energy, like, it needs to go somewhere. You can't just...
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't just go inside you and you're good.
Right.
You know?
Well, in the other ones...
You need a discharge.
In the other ones, like, he just kind of, like, lets it out, but there's no one there.
Yeah.
And
also, like,
smaller.
It's not nearly as big.
Yeah, this was, like, a big one.
Yeah. No, this was, like, he absorbed an entire, like... arc reactor, basically.
Yeah,
new form is basically the arc reactor.
No, for sure. Only it's not as good.
No, because it fucking explodes.
Yeah.
And gets unstable if you touch it.
Tony Stark built his in a cave
with a box of scraps.
4 weeks later, Simon Krieger is imprisoned with the information taken from Spider-Man and the testimony of Aaron Davis, who was also arrested. We didn't mention it, but Aaron, you know, Prowler earlier is like, hey, like, what if I fucking rat you out? Then what? And he's like, you're not, and Simon Krieger's like, you're not going to do that because, like, you're just as guilty as I am. We're going to share a cell together.
And then he fucking
good
does
point.
It.
But, again, he learns a lesson from Spider-Man. He decides to be selfless.
Yeah.
And it's not.
I think it basically ends up being like a plea deal. He gets like a reduced
exactly,
sentence. Yeah.
And it's not explicitly like shown, but like the fact that he shows up to Rio and he's like, I'm here to help, kind of tells me that he's good in her eyes, too. That she's going to forgive him also.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's not like he, like, just showed up and said, hey, I'm sorry. It's like he showed up and, like, literally helped her evacuate a neighborhood of millions of people.
Right, right.
That's a pretty big gesture.
Yeah. Miles has now assimilated into his new community, and likewise, the community has embraced their new Spider-Man. Miles meets Peter, back from
Simcaria?
Simcaria. Who congratulates him on his success and his new suit.
He does like the new suit.
In a post-credit scene, Harry Osborn awakens in his lab tank, and Norman wants him out. He orders his top scientist, Dr. Kurt Connors, to release him. That's the game.
Dun, dun, dun!
Yeah. So I love just this little kind of scene at the end where he's doing the same. He's walking in his neighborhood the same way he did earlier.
Right, but he's a lot more like,
now
he's interacting with everybody. He's more sure of himself.
He's having a good time.
He's home.
I thought that was fantastic. It's a really good parallel. Also, like, the mural is finished, but it has him right alongside of Peter.
Yep. It's a nice ending to the game. And this ending really does, like, establish, like, Miles is Spider-Man.
Right.
And for a few weeks, he was New York's only Spider-Man.
That's right. There's a ton of sequel bait, not just in this post-credit scene. There were other parts that we just didn't mention.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole cameo by Wilson Fisk.
Oh, yeah.
Who's, like, running gangs from the raft.
Which, of course he is.
Yeah.
Like...
It's not the underground, though.
No, because the underground don't like Fisk.
Right.
Yeah.
It's... Yeah, they drew a mask on him and stuff. Yeah. and, like, a mustache and shit.
Also, they took over his tower.
Yeah. No, because you do fight, like, regular prisoners and gang members and shit like that. Those are Fisk's men.
Mm, and it's more like the crimes they're doing are a little more subtle. They're trying to, like, kind of... I'm not sure exactly what they're trying to do.
I don't remember. I just beat them the fuck up. That's all I remember.
But, like, clearly Fisk is trying to set something up, maybe for his potential return.
Right. I don't know anything about Spider-Man 2. You've played it. Mm-hmm. You already beat it, I assume.
Yeah, 100% of it.
I figured you would do no less. So I don't know if he comes back in the sequel. However, it reads like sequel bait. And then obviously the post-credit scene is just pure sequel bait.
Yeah, Harry Osborn. Clearly Venom is attached to him. Like, you see the black around
we
him.
We saw that earlier, yeah.
You saw that
you in, saw it in this the
main, a little bit in this one.
Oh, I didn't know.
But you see
that.
It, like, in the main game, yeah. too. Like, it's like, yeah. what the fuck is that black tendril?
Right.
That's Venom. Like,
yeah. Weird that Harry is Venom, but...
A little weird.
I don't know what happened.
I think that
Spider-Man
only happens,
2,
like,
yeah.
once in the comics, and it's not like a...
I wasn't aware that it ever happened.
I think it does.
Oh, okay.
It might actually just be an animated series that it happens in.
I mean, it's adaptation. But, you got to do what you got to do.
No, yeah.
If it works better for this story, then it works better.
And what Insomniac's been doing with the Spider-Man universe is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Like,
it is its own universe. Yeah, let it be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think there's been no better Doc Ock than, I mean, Alfred Molina's fantastic, but this had so much, like the first movie's Doc Ock has so much story.
Yeah.
And he's so...
And we saw the turn.
Yeah, you're there every step of the way, and it really pays off at the end.
Yes, it was a very good
But Kirk Connors, we have a lizard.
We do have a lizard.
Lizard's here. Philly says we got a lizard,
one
boys.
Arm and all.
Oh, my God. I'm excited to play Spider-Man 2.
And he's working for Norman. I feel like that's not a good combination.
That's usually where he is, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, he's usually with Oscorp yeah. at some point.
So, yeah, that's the game. Let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about, this is, again, usually we talk about story and stuff.
Mm.
This is a video game, but it shares a lot of the same kind of elements. Story, acting, action, what do you think?
All great. I would even say, like, the action might actually have taken a step up from the main game.
Oh, really?
I think so. In what way?
It's the same thing.
I think gameplay-wise.
Okay, so I want to talk about gameplay also.
Or you mean action, like in the cutscenes and stuff?
I don't know. Action, this is when we talk about movies, so we can talk about gameplay instead. Story, let's start there.
Story's pretty good.
Fantastic.
It's a really good origin story.
Yeah.
And usually origin stories are kind of like slow and like, eh. But this one is, it's a nice, tight, quick story that keeps its footing pretty much the whole way.
Yeah.
Like it never like meanders or anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shorter game. Obviously, I beat it in like... 4 or 5 days, something like that. Just playing a few hours or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a fraction of the first Spider-Man game. But in fairness, like, there's a lot to do in the game. It's mostly up in... We're talking about story. But, like, it's nice and short. It's crisp. But it is also very meaningful. And I think that's what I was surprised. Like, I thought it was going to be a lot less, I don't know, interesting and
I thought it was gonna be kind of small scale.
Like, no, it's a big scale story, and it's very emotional, it's very well acted.
It's like smaller in scale than the main game, but still, like, you know, kind of high stakes.
Yeah.
Especially like on a personal level for these characters.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Not Christmassy enough for me. Like I said, I would rather have so much more, like, again, that's what kind of sets the game apart. I loved the setting though. I love the
snowy New York is there's something about it.
And it was like, it was such a vibe when, like, you couldn't see 10 buildings down. Like, you could only see 10 blocks down or so. And you're like, usually you can see all of Manhattan when you're up on the rooftop or whatever. But I'm like, that's a vibe. And I remember thinking, when I can change the weather at the end of the game, I'm like, keep it on, like, blizzard.
It's just so cool.
Yeah.
And that's another reason why I love, again, going back to Arkham Origins, like, it's Gotham, but it's Christmas time and there's, like, heavy snow.
It's fun.
It's just like there's something about it that's just really cool.
Yeah, it's a fun change of pace.
Mm-hmm.
I love the little things that kind of add on to the story. The J. Jonah Jameson podcast is back. Then Danica has a podcast too.
So we have a new podcast.
There's a lot to listen to while you're swinging around. I never did any fast travel because
there's no need.
Spider-Man. It's so fun swinging around, and there's always something entertaining you, whether it be a phone call with Genki or his mom. Or someone, it's J. Jonah Jameson. I will get to like a crime scene and just watch the crimes. Just let them do the crime
because
I'm listening to J. Jonah Jameson.
You don't want to interrupt it.
Yeah, I don't want to cut it off, and then you can access it later, like in the files or whatever. But like, it's like, come on.
Which I think that's something you can only do in the Miles Morales one because I don't think you could do that in the original game.
So like, I didn't really go deep into the settings in the first game. So when I saw it in this game, I was like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder if I could have done that before.
I don't think you could, if I'm remembering correctly. And surprisingly, Spider-Man 2 doesn't have that either.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. So it's like whenever, even in that game, when I was swinging around, if any phone call or podcast comes up, I will either just keep like swinging around in circles or I'll just stop. Yeah.
Gotta listen to this. Yep. Just let that car pass.
I hate missing dialogue. And even like boss fights, like I'll intentionally play them a little bit slower so I can make sure I hear everything the characters have to say.
Oh, I did too good on, I think, the final one. You were watching, and you mentioned that.
Yep.
Because she started talking, and then, like, I hit
a
cutscene.
And then you, punched her.
I was like, fuck! So, for gameplay, I don't know about you, this game glitched on me a ton. Did you ever glitch on you? Because of my PlayStation, maybe.
Maybe. Nothing significant that I could think of.
So, it was mostly the sound. Sometimes I would have two music files playing at the same time, and there's nothing fucking worse than that. Because, like, the beats don't add up.
Right.
So, it's just noise. So, like, I would
have to save and reload.
Dude, it would be, like, the pause music and, like, the current music. Like, the traversal music. And they just would be on top of each other. And that happened to me, like, 3 times. And, yeah, I would have to either reload the game or there was... At one point, I just turned the music all the way down. And I just played, like, an hour with no music, which was, like, kind of sucked.
Yeah, because the music in the game's really good.
Yeah, it does. And it adds a lot when you're doing, like, the... When you're doing the stealth stuff, if there's no music, it's kind of, you don't realize how like empty it is.
Yeah, it's just silence.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think if I have to complain about like gameplay for a minute, this game is a lot more exposed in terms of like types of gameplay because the first Spider-Man game had so much more that this one doesn't. And so like,
right.
So like this game, all really, it's either you're swinging, it's like traversal, stealth, or brawling.
Yeah.
Those are the three things. And, like, it does kind of get repetitive after a while. Because, like, this one doesn't have as much puzzling. As a little bit.
I think you're the only person that likes the puzzles.
Okay, but
people complain about the puzzles all the time.
But it's something to do other than just punch. You know what I mean? So, for, like, this game's puzzles, it's like, hey, find, like, where this generator is and then hit a button. It's like, okay, cool, like... Yeah, that is something to do, but like it doesn't break up the fighting enough to make it interesting and kind of break up the repetitiveness. You know what I mean? And in the first game, you played as other characters, and like I know people fucking hate the MJ stealth missions, but like at the very least, when you did an MJ mission or you did a Miles mission, it was a different kind of gameplay. So then when you went back to Spider-Man, it was almost like a breath of fresh air.
It's just funny that the complaints you have are the fact that they omitted all the stuff that a bunch of people complained about being in the original game.
Right, okay, sure, but like by omitting those things, you're stuck with like just some of the Spider-Man things. And not.
Yeah, but that's what this game is, just some of a Spider-Man game.
I guess.
Because it's not a full-on like...
You didn't think it was repetitive?
I didn't think so.
You know, you get to
I think it was too short to be repetitive.
I mean, maybe, but it's like you get to a new room and you're like, all right, it's going to be stealth. I'm going to brawl or I have to go somewhere really quick. Like those are the three things that you do.
Mm-hmm.
If any of those three things were less fun, this game would be in trouble, I think.
Oh, well, yeah. No, like
because all three of those things are just so fucking fun to do that it's fine, but you are doing the same three activities just over and over and over again. You know what I mean? And like,
I know what you mean. I don't necessarily disagree with you. I do know a lot of people would though.
I mean, like, maybe. Like, I don't play a whole lot of video games, you know, but, like, I guess the other game I'm playing a lot of is, like, Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, and it's, like...
That's just an open-world sandbox.
No, but, like, in Zelda, like, you're doing so many different kinds of things. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that, there's nothing repetitive about that game. It's just, like, everything you do is different than from the last thing you do.
I felt like Breath of the Wild is pretty repetitive.
Shut the fuck up. Anyway... They made a couple changes, obviously, like the you have all the Venom stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of the Venom moves are a lot of fun. I like that.
Some of them just send them flying when you punch them, too.
Yeah.
And they're like the hits with the Venom like strike is like really satisfying.
Oh, my God. So much so.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. I like that they changed the finishers to a combo instead of a full meter of Venom or whatever the previous thing was.
Yeah.
Like energy or whatever. That way you don't lose that ability when you're healing.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get a finisher every 15 combo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
And so if you have to heal, it's like, oh, shit, I can't use the finisher anymore. You can heal, just can't use Venom powers anymore.
Which added a little bit of like strategy to it, but
because
do I, you know, do I use my heal or should I go for the finisher?
Yeah.
It's a little easier, I guess, when you can just keep comboing up to get the finishers.
Yeah, but comboing is kind of hard, though. Like, every now and then, you're going to fucking hit.
Comboing is a little harder late game in this because...
There's, like, tons of guns and
tons
shit.
Tons of guns, and also as you progress through the game, the enemies, like, story-wise, they adapt to your new abilities and stuff, so that makes the combat harder. And we talked about this while you were streaming it. I was saying I love and hate that they do that because I love it from, like, a lore perspective and story perspective because it shows that, you know, the bad guys, like, aren't idiots.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're adapting to what they're seeing you doing.
But also you're getting better.
Right, but, like, you're getting better, but it never actually feels like it because they always counter you.
Yeah. Well, my complaint, because I remember, we were talking about this on stream, is that, like, in a game like this, and in a game like in the first Spider-Man, the game got easier as you leveled up, despite the fact that the enemies were getting harder,
mm-hmm.
because your power-ups were just getting, like, super OP, you know?
Yeah, the gadgets were honestly OP in that game.
It got to the point where I was like, I'm not going to have fun if I use any of the gadgets, so I stopped using gadgets. Yep. I stopped...
Because, yeah, like, I shoot this thing and everybody just fucking goes flying. Like,
yeah, I stopped using double finishers. Because it was like, at one point, you unlock double finishers. So you can finish one person, then finish the other person. And then if you stack them up, you could finish like 4 to 6 in a row. And it was like, there's half the gang right there. And you haven't done
anything. And all I did was
anything.
Press triangle and circle at the same time 4 times.
Right. Yeah. And it was like, okay, well, this isn't really a challenge anymore. So let me stop doing that, too. Like, like, I was getting annoyed that, like, the game seemed harder at the beginning where I was like, oh, I'm actually dying a few times and then try it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I feel like every game... Like, that should be a thing in any game where, like, yeah, you die.
Yeah.
Like, dying should be on the table.
You should be able to die in a game.
And if you're not dying, then get that difficulty up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, you're, I mean, have fun, but at the same time, it's like,
there
needs to be a challenge.
There needs to be some challenge with it. Yeah. Otherwise, what are you doing?
Right.
You're just mashing buttons, and that's, I mean, I guess some people find it fun, but.
Yeah. When you unlock, like, did you do this? When you unlock the cat costume with the cats on your backpack?
Mm-hmm. There's a cat finisher.
Yes.
Yep.
And I couldn't get it to do it more than once because I saw him the first one he did it and I was like, what the fuck? That's amazing. And I thought I was going to do it every single time. And it's like,
it's like every once in a while.
It's probably cycled like every 1 in 10 or something like that. But yeah, he like flips around and the cat comes out of the bag and scratches him a bunch.
Yep.
Ah, beautiful.
I love that cat suit.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, the bodega cat.
Yeah. Well, let's transition into costumes, because I guess we can talk about the different skins in the game.
Oh, yeah.
I thought they're pretty good.
They're good. Not as fun of a selection as...
The first one.
It's but Miles doesn't either. Have as many suits as Peter does, so it kind of makes sense.
In, like, comic canon.
Yeah, he's a newer character.
Right.
And, like, obviously you can, like, make some stuff up, but, like, still.
Yeah. I didn't even use half of them. The 2099 one, I didn't know he was in 2099.
I'm not sure if he is.
It's just 2099 style.
Yeah. There's like a 2021 suit.
I have to go back and finish some of the missions to unlock the rest of them, but yeah, no, they're fine. They're good.
None of them are bad, but...
Into the Spider-Verse was great.
Yep, and it adds that little like animation frame rate.
So I knew that was a thing. I don't know if they did that on PS4 or just PS5 because I couldn't tell on PS4. And I was looking for it because I'd watched people do this on YouTube.
It might be like a thing that you have to equip on your suit, though.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I'm going to check because I put that suit on for a little bit and I couldn't tell that the frame rate had slowed down.
I think that's what it is.
Because it's supposed to cut the frame rate in half.
Yeah, so because it mimics the style of the movie.
Right.
Yeah.
But the textures are just like the movie where it's like either hatching or like a bunch of dots and stuff. That was really cool.
And I always have a, like, because I think they look beautiful, but I have a hard time playing using those type of animated suits because the rest of the world isn't animated.
Right. I love the animated suit. I love cel shading. Mm-hmm. And I think we need more cel shaded games. I don't know why people hate them so much.
I think people appreciate them more than they did back when they were actually coming out.
I mean, maybe.
Because when Wind Waker came out, everybody was shitting on that. Like, oh, it looks so kiddie. It looks terrible. We want a realistic game.
I day one that game and I did not put it down for months. I remember that moment in time in my childhood so well when GameCube and all the fantastic games that came with it, like I was going fucking crazy. It was the best middle school ever. Anyway, No, I don't remember that. But if you could turn on this entire game to be animated just like the animated suit,
that'd be cool.
I'd fucking play the shit out of that.
You know what
the
game
animated suit
like,
looks beautiful.
You might like the Ultimate Spider-Man game, actually.
Oh, is that cel-shaded?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen bits
of it. It's cel-shaded. It looks like the Ultimate Spider-Man comics.
Okay. Yeah.
The gameplay is just like Spider-Man 2, but it's cel-shaded, and you can play as Venom.
Okay. Yeah, no, I've seen that. I think we might have even played it.
It came out
for
like
a minute.
2005, I think.
Yeah. Music, before we wrap this up.
I loved it.
It was really good.
I love that it's still like the kind of like the orchestral music of the first game, but it's got like some hip-hop vibes to it, too. Mm-hmm. Same composer, John Pisano.
Yeah, well, so at one point, it's literally the same theme. Yep. But they put the track, the hip-hop,
like the
beats
hip-hop
underneath.
Beats over and it's,
And I only noticed that because my game was glitching and playing two on top of each other. And I'm like, this is awful. And I hear the main theme with two different hip-hop tracks underneath it.
Oh,
that
you hear like the pause
up.
Menu one on top of
it. Yeah, and I was like, this is awful.
No, if you hear the music as intended, it's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. Fuck, I feel like there was one more thing that this game did that I really enjoyed more than the first game.
Puerto Rican representation.
Probably. I mean, honestly. Philly in the chat saying, do they speak Spanish at all? They speak Spanish considerable amount, yeah.
Yeah, more than I expected in a AAA major released video game.
Yeah, and they use, not to get too deep into it, but there are several versions of the Puerto Rican flag, and it's really just the colors that they use. Mm-hmm. And they use the light blue, which kind of signifies like, the light blue is like the OG Puerto Rican flag color. Basically, for a long time, like Puerto Rican flag was like illegal to fly because it was like really heavy colonized, you know. And the U.S. is like, no, you can't. That's too like too much of like a revolutionary independent kind of symbol having your own flag. So you're literally not allowed to fly it. For like 50 years, it was illegal to fly the Puerto Rican flag. So when they finally allowed it...
That's why Puerto Ricans are so prideful of their flag. Older Puerto Ricans.
Right, like among a few things. But so like after, you know, the U.S. was like, you can have your flag now, pretend to maybe be a state.
You can pretend to be a state.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Not quite.
Maybe one day you guys will get statehood.
You're not independent.
If you guys vote on it.
Yeah, but you're not... Oh, we don't get to vote on shit. But they changed the colors to match the U.S. flag. So then the Puerto Rican flag could exist only if the red and the blue matched the red and blue of the United States. That way it would feel subordinate to the United States flag, basically. Right? And so that flag flew for a long time. And then eventually they reached a compromise. And this was like not that long ago, really, where they found a shade of blue that was in between the sky blue originally and then the navy blue of the United States. And so what version of the Puerto Rican flag gets flown a lot of times is up for debate depending on what your political beliefs are and whether you kind of subscribe to like the American colonialism or you would rather be independent. And it's a whole thing.
I know the island is very divided on that.
Yeah. So it's a whole thing on whether you fly a light blue flag, a medium blue flag, or a dark blue flag. And it's a little contentious. But what kind of drew my eye to this, because I'm familiar with this topic, is that all the flags are pretty light blue. And I'm like, okay, you know, that tells you that like at least the programmers and the designers are like legitimately Puerto Rican and they really actually went and they learned about this.
Research.
They did some research on this or know about it. Maybe they're from New York. Maybe they're from Puerto Rico.
Actually, yeah, there's a lot of Puerto Ricans in New York. So,
and instead of just going like, hey, go on Wikipedia real quick and just download that flag and we just slap it up. And it would have been kind of the more navy blue one.
Right.
So like that was something. And then
so somebody went out of their way to find that.
Exactly.
Flag.
And that is meaningful. And to Philly's point, you know, he's like, do they speak Spanish? They do. It's clear that like the voice actor for Miles doesn't speak Spanish because he has a bit of an accent, but also like Miles would because he grew up in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No,
or Harlem.
That'd be like if I tried to speak
Spanish.
Exactly.
Guess
what? I can't do it.
Yeah. You have a slight accent. And
I would have an accent.
Though his mom, she speaks Spanish. And then there's entire scenes where she's speaking Spanish in the background.
She's like on the phone talking Spanish.
Yeah. And I'm looking out for all that stuff. And so, there's an exceptional attention to detail Okay. Which is why I believe them when they said it was a programming error that they flipped the colors on the flag and ended up looking like the Cuban flag. But it wasn't actually the Cuban flag that they... It wasn't that kind of mistake that they made.
Right. No, they didn't put the wrong flag in there. Yeah.
It was like a line error in the programming where it just put the wrong color in the wrong space. Right.
But that's not as fun a narrative as, hey, these idiots put the wrong flag.
Right. Yeah. Right. But as I'm playing this game through, I'm like, the same people couldn't have done that mistake.
Right.
The same people that are picking the right shade of blue to go into the Puerto Rican flag aren't confusing that with the Cuban flag. You know, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But Cap has a big question. Is Miles Morales a must player, or could someone jump from 1 to 2?
Here's the thing. In 2, you play as both Miles and Peter, and they both kind of have their own stories going on. So there are bits of this that are important going into 2. I would say, yeah, this is probably more of a must play than the DLC for the first game is.
Okay.
Yeah. Although there's stuff from the DLC from the first game that comes into the second game too. So, I mean, me personally, I think it's all a must play because I hate skipping shit.
Same, yeah. Well, here's what I would say. Oh, yeah, go on.
Because this is like, if you're looking at it, it's like Spider-Man, and this will be like Spider-Man 1.5 and then Spider-Man 2.
Here's what I would say is like, and it's the same thing I tell people. I say when like there's a new movie coming out and someone goes, okay, but to see it, do I really have to see the one that came before it? You know, if it's a sequel.
Right.
And I'm like, why would you even ask that question? Like, why wouldn't you just see the first one? You know what I'm saying? Like, what makes you, other than like FOMO, because it seems like...
I think a lot of times it is FOMO.
It's FOMO because that's what's in theaters right now.
Right.
So people are like, all right, well, what do I need to know to get into it without having watched the first one? It's like, well, the first one, in the event that like the first one is just as good as the new one, I'm like, well, then you could... Like, if the first one was in theaters right now, you would just go see it.
Very rarely would I be like, oh, yeah, you could just skip that movie and then... Very rarely would I say that.
I mean, only like if it's like an MCU movie and they're like, oh, do I have to watch like this random Ant-Man movie? I'd probably be like, no.
It's like for this movie, no.
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 But like Philly's saying, a bunch of people say Glass Onion was bad only to find out they hadn't seen Knives Out. Okay, so like in that case, if someone was like, hey, do I need to see Knives Out to see Glass Onion? I would probably say no.
No, but...
But why wouldn't you? Like, why would you skip this really good movie to see this other good movie? You know what I'm saying?
In the event of that, though, it's weird because it's like, I guess you could watch Glass Onion first. Because it's done in the style of, like, the Hercule Poirot stuff, where it's just like, this is just a Benoit Blanc mystery.
Yeah, it's like an anthology almost.
But if you hadn't seen Knives Out, then you wouldn't know what to expect going into Glass Onion, so. And, like, the type of mystery movie it is.
I would say if you really enjoy the first Spider-Man game, you have absolutely no reason to not play this game, because it is at least as good as the first game.
Yeah.
So if you want more of what you got in that first game, then definitely play this
one. And it
one.
Is shorter, and it is...
I mean, I played it in a week, you know.
Yeah, and at least it used to go on sale pretty often.
It was cheaper, too.
It was cheaper when it came out, too. I think it was $40 when it released.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's no reason not to play this game. It's a great game.
Also, it's just it's
like
more
it,
Spider-Man,
yeah.
So...
Yeah, seriously. It's just more content.
Might as well make it last longer.
So, I can't remember if we did an Into the Phantom Zone last time or not, but I guess final thoughts on this game. Would you recommend it? I don't know.
I would definitely recommend it. It's just more of the last game.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I know some people would be like, oh, it's just more of the same. It's like, yeah, but that's not always a bad thing. If it's more of the same of something good, why not get more of it?
Yeah, like my only my only complaint is that like by taking out other elements of that were in the first game, it just kind of exposes this gameplay to be kind of repetitive, but like I said, it's very fun, so it's fine. The brawling and the stealthing and the swinging is all very fun, so you're just gonna do that a lot, but it does have a lot less puzzling, and not just like the literal puzzles, but like
environmental puzzles too.
Yeah, like the first right, exactly. The first game had just more to do. But again, this isn't like a full game, and I think that's fine.
It's like an expansion pack
to
Spider-Man.
Yeah. But it doesn't feel like an expansion pack in terms of like the story and the acting.
Yeah, the story's standalone. Well, not standalone. The story's kind of a sequel.
Right.
Of sorts.
But it's just as good quality.
Yeah.
I was even like, oh shit, like they brought back characters only to just be cameos. Like Jefferson Davis has a few lines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they brought back that actor.
Just yeah.
For like a few lines or whatever. Like Fisk is in this for a line or two, you know? And like,
we haven't seen him since the beginning of the first game.
Obviously, like Rhino. And anyway, I thought this was an incredibly fun game. Total standout. It holds up to the first one.
And there's just like good world building here too. Like just adding more to this universe.
Yeah.
Like fleshing it out more.
Right. And now that like, again, I was saying like Miles, now that Miles Morales is like fully fledged as a character and as Spider-Man as this game, like that gets me more pumped to play Spider-Man 2 mm-hmm. whenever I get around to play Spider-Man 2.
You can borrow my PS5.
And play. That'd be great. So that I can, because again, like I understand both characters, it's going to be great. So two thumbs way up for me.
Definitely a recommendation from me too.
Yeah. So next, before we wrap up, the next thing we're going to do, you guys, is a Christmas special, probably. Yes. Actually, you know what? That's what we're going to record next. It might not come out next.
Oh, okay.
Sable's going to take over, and we're going to watch The Polar Express, which is one of her favorite Christmas movies that you and I hate.
Yep.
And we talk about it every single year, so we'll finally actually watch the movie.
I'll try not to shit on it too much.
I'm definitely shit on it, but I'm not convinced I've actually have ever finished that movie. Like the
really?
Ending of that movie is like a blur to me.
I remember.
I don't remember any
Did
of
you
it.
Ever read the book?
No.
It's
a picture book.
It's like
right?
a really short picture book. Yeah. They somehow turned out into like a 2-hour movie. That's ridiculous to me.
<You're> right? Starring literally one person.
Tom Hanks.
That's another, whoever came up with that, like it's an interesting concept, but like why? We'll talk about it. Aquaman comes out this month, which a fun fact everyone forgot about.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to see it release date because I probably work.
That's fine. I'm sure you'll see it in the weekend.
I'll see it as soon as I'm able to. Yeah. I'll be honest, I'm not excited about it.
I don't think anyone is. It might be good.
When I was watching Godzilla and the trailer for Aquaman came out, people groaned.
God, it's really, you know, and it's the same thing that happened with The Flash. It's just like, they could put out an incredible film. It wouldn't matter because it's a defunct universe.
For all I know, this movie will be amazing. But
yeah,
I don't know. Like, I'm excited for Patrick Wilson. That's about it.
What? You don't like?
I like Jason Momoa.
Jason Momoa. Thank you.
I don't know if I like the character of Aquaman, though.
Oh, I like him.
I think I'm fine with the character. I hate the movie. I hate his movie. I'm famously not a fan of the first Aquaman movie.
Anyway, it doesn't
matter. I thought it was stupid.
We'll talk about it. What I'm going to try to watch is the Aquaman TV pilot. Did you know that this existed?
Not the spinoff of Smallville, right?
No.
Because that never even got made.
Right. Because yeah. Aquaman wasn't an episode of Smallville.
And there was supposed to be a spinoff. Never happened.
What they did do instead was make a wholly original Aquaman TV pilot. Never picked up.
Oh.
But the pilot exists. We just have to find it.
Okay.
Cool. I think that'd be a fun thing to do for Aquaman.
I didn't know that existed. That'd be a fun one to do.
He has nothing else. He doesn't have any movies,
He's
TV shows.
He's not that popular of a character. He has a video game.
He does?
It's terrible.
Ah. Is it a movie tie-in or something? Or just like
it's just called Aquaman Battle for Atlantis.
Wow.
And you're like the blonde bearded Aquaman with the hook hand.
Oh, cool.
And
the 90s Aquaman.
You just swim around, punch people.
You should find that. We should play it.
I have it. I own it.
Oh, God. Of course you do.
I own a physical copy of it.
Yeah. So I'm going to try my best to find that so we can watch it. And then we'll obviously we'll review Aquaman. Yeah. So it's going to be a busy month because we got this.
The Christmas special.
Christmas special.
I'm also recording on Blake's takes.
Oh, God. Yeah. Blake's got you coming over and taking up our slots.
I'm pulling double duty now.
God damn it. Anyway. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thanks to that piano dude for our musical intro. Make sure you guys leave a rating and review on Apple or Spotify, wherever you get this podcast. Please make sure to tell a friend. And if you've told a friend, thank you so much for telling that friend. You can support the show on Patreon, where you have access to news from the Phantom Zone, which is our video episodes talking about the news of the week, and our second podcast called Where's Mephisto? Birdo, what is Where's Mephisto, and where are we Mephistoing?
Mephistoing as a verb. Okay. Where's Mephisto is, like you said, our other podcast where we watch usually currently streaming television, comic book related most of the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes Star Wars.
Also Star Wars, yeah. We've done a lot of Star Wars.
Yeah, we watch him, we talk about him, and we ask the burning question. Where's Mephisto?
Where's Mephisto? He's supposed to be here by now.
Yeah.
Like, I was promised Mephisto.
So we just recently did...
Loki.
Loki. I almost said Ahsoka. Wow.
Well, we did that too.
I know, but Loki's more recent.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
We just did Loki. I think next we would be tackling What If, which starts soon.
When is What If?
Huh?
It's soon. It's at the end of the year. It's, oh, because it's like there's a Christmas episode.
Yeah, it's towards the end of December, and they're releasing an episode
what
daily.
A day, yeah.
I don't know if we could just like wait That's till it's all fun. Over and tackle it all at once.
If we're recording,
because there's usually not a lot of continuity between
we might do it. In
there
two.
Was some continuity between some of the episodes.
In we might just do it in two episodes. They're short episodes.
How long's the season though?
I think like 8 or 9 or something.
So they're just going to release an episode for like 9 days straight? Yeah. That's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, no, it is very cool. It's going to be like a 12 days of Christmas situation. Yeah. They should have had 12.
That would have been good.
Because I talked about this with our friend
Chris.
I also
got to rewatch Hawkeye. Oh, maybe we should do a Hawkeye rewatch. Christmas.
That's a lot of stuff.
That's Hawkeye's like, what, 6 episodes?
Yeah. I like Hawkeye.
And they're not super long
episodes
either. It's
very Christmassy. That's Christmas medium heavy.
I rewatched it last year. I think I might watch it every year. I might watch that and Iron Man 3 and the Guardians Holiday Special every year.
You know what, though? Sable never watched the Guardians Holiday Special. I'm going to watch out with her. Thank you for reminding
me. Yes, make her watch it.
Yeah.
She loves the Guardians.
That's going to be fun. No, but she was like busy that day. Then I was like, hey, I'm going to watch this. And she was like walking out the door. I'm like, all right, play.
I'm going to TJ Maxx.
Yeah, she was probably doing like holiday shopping. Anyway, that's all on our Patreon. Hey, you can do a free trial week. So you get a free week, listen as much as you can. You can bounce if you want, or you can stick around. $3, $5, whatever you feel like donating our way. Let me tell you, man, it really helps. We buy stuff. We spend a lot of time on this podcast, and any support means a lot. If you want to hang out with us personally, you can join our Discord server. We're talking every day with our good friends. About all kinds of things, not just Marvel, DC, Star Wars related. We've got channels for the MonsterVerse, for Transformers. One won't die.
Because we got Philly. MonsterVerse won't die because of Philly also.
That's not going to die because of Chris. He loves Godzilla.
Godzilla's cool.
Yeah.
I'm getting a lot more appreciation for him now.
Yeah. All these episodes are streamed live on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/filmsfrompz. If you want to hang out with us while we record the show, if you want to be a part of the show, you can do that by being here on Twitch. We record on Mondays, sometimes Tuesdays, sometimes Wednesdays.
My schedule's different all the time now. My life is chaos.
Hey, that's when you turn on notifications on Twitch. Join our Discord, and we will tell you well in advance when we're going to be going live. If you hang out with us, you get a shout out, like our good friends Philly to the J, new friend Cap. Also, Zach was his first time here.
Zach was in here.
We got raided by Cap and his friends Misty and Annabelle Faye. And also, who else was here early on? Rambo, good friend, was here.
Yeah. So we had a really...
It's been a popping day. Yeah. And all you that are just hanging out anonymously, good for you. But thank you for being here. You can find us on Instagram, Films from the Phantom Zone, Twitter, Films from PZ, TikTok, Films from PZ, sometimes Threads. I forget that I'm on Threads. I keep on waiting for Twitter to burn.
I forget about Threads too until I see a bunch of notifications that I don't check.
One day, Twitter's gonna finally crash and burn. I'll be like, all right,
I already got Threads set up.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for that day. But if you want to argue with us, that's the place to do it. And other than that, you guys, we'll see you next week with some Aquaman stuff.
Bye.
Okay, goodbye.